Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got ominous new developments with Israel saying that they are strongly looking at nuking Iran. And it looks like the sanctions will go through at the UN to start boarding all the Iranian ships, an act of war. I have mainstream news articles where all over the world governments are putting software in black boxes in people's homes, including the U.S. Federal government's moving for that to track everything you do on the Internet and also censor what you can see. Housing sales are down by an all-time record, breaking all the previous records the last 2 years, of 33-plus percent. We have just incredible tyrannical news. People are being arrested all over the country for sending mildly critical emails to the U.S. Senate and House. That's right. If you send an email saying, "You're crazy, don't cut my unemployment benefits, I'll starve," arrested. Mainstream news, feds with straight faces, with the full email, saying that if something is, quote, annoying, you will go to jail. If it annoys a politician, oh, you didn't know they passed a law in 96 that if you annoy a politician, you go to prison? Kind of like Lieberman a few days ago was on CNN saying, well, don't worry, we do need the power like China to shut off the web, but we won't use it very often. I'm going to play that clip today. It's all happening. This is bona fide, hot, naked, very abusive, ultra-dangerous, real tyranny. It's brazen. It's out in the open. It is naked as a jaybird, as they say. But don't worry about any of that news and information. Minutes before I went live, in the closing minute of the game, the United States in South Africa, with Bill Clinton looking on, beat Algeria 1-0. And they weren't going to win. If they tied again, they were going to be out of it. And England bloodied, but still made it and beat the team they were playing. So everything is fine, ladies and gentlemen. Everything is fine. It doesn't matter if there's deadly sodium fluoride in your water. Doesn't matter if there's cancer viruses in every major vaccine that's looked at. Doesn't matter if the Times of India admits conclusive government studies that fluoridation of water has caused massive deformities in their population and death and retardation. That's mainstream news today. But they get IMF World Bank money to do it because the IMF World Bank cares a lot about your teeth, let me tell you. None of that matters. World War III doesn't matter. The bank's taking everything over. Doesn't matter. We had the game on here in the office, and the guys were looking down, some of them. They're good guys. They know what's going on. They're hardworking. But still, they're smiling right now, folks, because we got England fans and U.S. fans here in the office, and they won, and we're saved. And then I watched as the U.S. won, there were people dressed in clown suits. In red, white, and blue clown outfits, jumping up and down, and the ESPN zoomed in on that and said, "Look at these good Americans." And they cut to Bill Clinton being congratulated. Bill Clinton, I'll guarantee you, could care less about soccer, but he knows it's a good PR move to be there and be seen as a fan of soccer. Just like at NASCAR. You know, "Oh, look, I like NASCAR. Look, I like soccer. I like football." What he likes is cocaine and hookers and ripping people off as a con man. And raping women. Remember all that in the court hearings? Biting them on the face while he slaps them and chokes them. But it's okay. He's a nice guy. He likes the World Cup. And so I thought we could have the new American flag be an ostrich with its head in the sand. Or maybe a man in a fetal position licking a thug with black boots on. Or maybe even better, a Bozo the Clown. A red, white, and blue Bozo the Clown. Because it cut to four guys in Bozo the Clown outfits in red, white, and blue with giant red, white, and blue Afro clown wigs on. Just jumping up and down with their tribal warlike energy. Distracted off into the World Cup. Itself a global government brainwashing scenario. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying soccer's bad. I'm not saying football's bad. I'm not saying liking sports is bad. Especially if you compete in it. My issue is we're going to hell in a handbasket. The world is collapsing into tyranny right now, and we better get as fired up about liberty and defending it as soccer.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Yes, the United States and England beat their rivals narrowly in South Africa. So everything is fine, ladies and gentlemen. We can all now have pride in ourselves. We live in England or the United States. We can all feel satisfied as we lose our liberties, our freedoms, our standard of living, as we're forcibly medicated with sterilization and brain-damaging chemicals in U.S. government documents admitting it. It's just wonderful. And I am the bad person for even criticizing the World Cup. I am bad saying our priorities are screwed up. I admit it, and I apologize right now at the start of the show to watch people dressed up in Bozo the Clown outfits in red, white, and blue yelling and screaming in vitriolic rapture through a false triumph. I mean, they didn't win the game. They're not out on the field. To see dehumanization at this level, the bread and circus rampant as my beloved republic collapses into the sea. And as the Gulf of Mexico turns into a dead zone, and I'm the bad man, and I admit it today, and I apologize. All right, here's the deal. We're taking your phone calls on any issue, economic, military, political. You can talk about the McChrystal situation that I didn't say much about yesterday. I wanted to analyze it. I do have my comments today coming up in the next hour. You talk about the latest Gulf developments. I always let people call in and plug stuff, and it's gotten out of control because what happens is people just flood the lines who want to plug something. And so it doesn't turn into any type of information or debate. It's just people plugging things. So today, we're going to have a plug-free day. We're still going to have days where you can call in and plug, but we're going to have a plug-free day today. And in the first hour, we're going to have first-time callers because I want to hear from you and get your take on what's happening in the world. It's very thought-provoking and takes us in different angles. So here is the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231, and we will get you up and on the air. Now, let me just read to you the stacks of news I have here. I'm seeing more and more cases of individuals who send not even threatening emails to Congress who are being arrested. The Huffington Post, the AP, the Salt Lake City papers have reported on it. Here's a story I've got. It says, Nat Hentoff, Philadelphia man indicted for using right to free speech. And we've covered this before, but now I'm seeing new cases of this. His message to Senator Bunning staffers, he was watching the floor hearings about getting rid of unemployment benefits. And he said, are you insane? No checks equal no food for me. Do you get it? And the FBI came and has arrested him, and he's charged. And under the Telecommunications Act of 1996, Section 1934, and that's the one that put by federal law, all cell phones track you in real time and can physically listen to you with the NSA dial-in. That's what took over the radio and TV stations and put the government control boxes in the last piece of equipment in the chain before broadcast or transmission. Well, also in the act, in Section 1934, it says, did utilize a telecommunication device that is a computer, whether or not communication ensued, without disclosing his identity and with the intent to annoy, abuse, threaten, and harass any person who received the communication. And, of course, the guy sent it from his email, but they still say, well, because you didn't identify yourself, and because you annoyed by calling him insane, you are facing felony charges right now. See, when I read something like that, I think about the clip from 2 days ago of Lieberman, who's also got legislation in the Senate with John McCain that allows the secret arrest of citizens for any reason, including intelligence gathering, by the president, attorney general, joint chiefs of staff, or any of their designates. Anyone in the government who wants to put a bag over your head and put you in a van and you disappear forever only an act of Congress, this is in the legislation, you've heard Napolitano, by the way, is on tomorrow, Judge Andrew Napolitano talk about that. It's not just me saying it. If you won't go read the bill, at least take Napolitano's word for it. I mean, I know it sounds crazy. That you disappear into an absolute black hole and only an act of Congress can find out where you are. That is beyond the Nazis, beyond the Soviets, beyond Mao. Oh, the Nazis and the Soviets and the Chinese communists and the Pol Pot nuts and all of them, they would have on paper all these wonderful rights you had. They would just under the table do whatever they wanted and make you sign fake confessions and things. Now, no, not in America. No, they have White House memos ordering torture. Bush brags about ordering torture. No one gets in trouble for it, even though it's illegal in the administration. Obama continues it, expands it, and all these people, last time I checked, it's over 38 people in prison for torture in Afghanistan and Iraq who followed directives from the Pentagon directly from the White House on record. You rot in prison, Bush runs around on TV talking about how he ordered the torture. Now, that is bona fide tyranny. The real McCoy, it doesn't get any more slithering and evil than that. Oh, man, I tell you, things are just upside down. And so we're entering the vortex now, and the new Cybersecurity Act separately, they don't care if it doesn't pass. Kind of like Obama says he's going to use the EPA to implement the carbon taxes through the power plants and the gas pumps and the oil wells. And, of course, BP is all part of this, playing the part of the bad guy in this Shakespearean theater right now, the villain, kind of like Jesse Ventura played the villain in World Federation Wrestling. And Obama just says, you will give me $20 billion. And, of course, BP says, yes, sir. Again, setting that precedent that he's the dictator. And it's the office that is the dictatorship. Puppets come and go. They'll discard him, no doubt, in the next 2.5 years. I saw this coming when I made the Obama deception out 2 months into his administration, being produced the day he was elected. We went into full production mode in November of 2008. And I said he would be discarded, that he would be a one-term president. I could see it in the cards. I could see it in the tea leaves, as plain as the nose on my face, or the sun rising in the morning, setting in the evening. 100%. As they built up the messianic leader only to make him the scapegoat puppet. And you now see all these people getting ready to leave his administration, rats scurrying away from the sinking ship, Emmanuel and others. And then there'll be a big victory by the Republicans as they pour in and stage a new terror attack and launch some more wars. And suddenly Chris Matthews and Keith Olbermann will suddenly report on government staged terror and the New World Order and how it's all a Republican creature. And then suddenly the Republicans on Fox News will play the part of the establishment saying there's no New World Order. Oh, right now they talk about it endlessly. So, see, that's just one article there that I do want to get more into. But look at this. Black South Carolina Republican poised to go to Congress. Voters in South Carolina nominated a black Republican lawmaker. Oh, I thought they're all racist. Tea Party. He's the Tea Party person. Voters in South Carolina nominated a black Republican lawmaker for an open congressional seat Tuesday, rejecting a legendary political name and adding diversity to the national party. State Rep. Tim Scott defeated Paul Thurmond, the son of Strom Thurmond. By the time he left Congress, couldn't even talk. An attorney who was the son of the one-time segregationist U.S. Senator Strom Thurmond. Scott, who won the runoff with 69% of the vote. See, that's the majority of those voters who happen to be lily white. Voting for the black man. Boy, what's Chris Matthews going to do with that one? I wouldn't mind having a completely black Congress if they'd get rid of the income tax and leave my Second Amendment alone. I wouldn't mind. What color? You could have green-skinned people in the Congress, but that's not going to happen, is it? There aren't any green-skinned people, I guess, unless you've been in a prison. State Representative Tim Scott defeated Paul Thurmond, son of legendary Senator Strom Thurmond. Scott, 44, owns an insurance business and became the first black Republican in the South Carolina legislature in more than a century when elected 2 years ago. Before that, he served 13 years on Charleston County Council. And you know why you didn't have a black Republican get elected there? Because they never ran. Blacks just think they're not welcome at Tea Parties, or because the media tells them, or they think they're not welcome to run as a Republican. Of course, statistics show they get elected even more often when they actually run than Democrats. And this guy is the Tea Party candidate. So what's the message here? Whether it's Kentucky or Pennsylvania or Hawaii or Colorado or Utah, whether it's Democrat or Republican, the anti-incumbent wins, the anti-establishment person wins, the person that isn't seen as the establishment candidate wins in every race. That's why they've got establishment people posing as anti-establishment running against the two sisters, you know, the two globalist senators. They're not really sisters, but spiritually they are. Financially they are. Globally they are. Big government anti-gun they are in California. Of course, they'll have Republicanoids like Schwarzenegger types getting elected as the new female senators. Because every incumbent is falling. Every person running in primaries as a pro-establishment person is falling. But what do you see out of all the establishment Republican organs who attack me every day? Washington Post today. They say Republicans better watch it. They better mediate their message. They better not sound like Alex Jones. That's in the Washington Post and four other big publications I saw today. Saying don't be like Alex Jones. Yeah, because if you talked like me, you'd win and nothing could stop you. If you just told the truth. People want hardcore reality. They want angry people. They want to take their country back. So the media is like, no, no, don't do that. Yeah, before we know it, another generation will pass like a rustle in the leaves in the autumn. Before you know it, we'll all be in the catacomb, a graveyard, our ashes poured into the sea. And will the World Cup victor of 2010 matter then? Or will the course we chart for humanity that's being decided right now, will that be what is remembered? I want to have an effect on the future. I have a love affair with the past, the present, and the future. I want future generations to have more liberty than I've had, more freedom than I've had, not less. That's what it's really all about. And all the great thinkers, the great philosophers, the sages have come to that realization. And to see that great truth robbed from modern humanity, to see us turned into these creatures, these slaves of media diversions, is a sad thing. Your call's coming up in the next segment. But the good news is black Republican elected in South Carolina, or won the primary, now up against the Democrats, and he trounced the Republican he was running against 69% because he's the anti-establishment person. He's the pro-Tea Party in the fetter. Just like Rand Paul. And they'll probably come out and claim that, you know, Representative Tim Scott doesn't like black people because he's black. I mean, or they may put a white guy up on TV and tell people that's him and that he wants to get rid of the Civil Rights Act. I mean, there's no telling the type of hoaxes. I'm not joking here. They may just put up a white guy on TV on MSNBC and say, I mean, they'll go that far. They put fake Bin Laden videos out. They want it to be about racial politics, because if black people and Hispanics and other so-called minority groups, Americans, you're told you're a minority. You're told to stay separate. And a lot of it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, where then blacks and others don't feel like they're welcome at a Tea Party. And then finally, after a year and a half of the media saying this, if they show up at a Tea Party or any type of any other political demonstration, people may then look at them and feel uncomfortable, because all they've been told all day is that they're a white racist, and so they're sitting there thinking, does this black person think I don't like them? And then people are uncomfortable. Instead of talking about J.P. Morgan Chase, instead of talking about Goldman Sachs ripping us off, instead of talking about impending war with Iran, getting closer and closer every second, No. We're all obsessed on our gender and our region and our religion and how much melanin we have in our skin. And they teach it in school in the name of diversity to teach the little kids to actually see each other's differences and feel guilty, so that then the state can referee all of the gang mentality, tribalism that's accentuated. Oh, it's all very craftily done, but the system is panicking. Every establishment candidate, when they've had off elections in the last year and a half, has been swept out. And in every primary, the anti-establishment candidate, be they Democrat or Republican, is winning the primaries. And because the Republicans are seen as being out of power, now when they run these anti-establishment Democrats and anti-establishment Republicans up against each other in November, you're going to see Republicans sweep. Probably get the Senate, guaranteed to get the House. Unless Obama and his handlers stage a new Iran war. Or a big false flag. Or continue to let the Gulf degenerate. And they may do all three or more. They've got all sorts of curveballs up their sleeve. They're up there at the mound. The American people are up at bat. Will we fall for all their tricks? It's real simple. It's kind of like the American people are a golfer getting up to tee, and Chris Matthews, under his breath, coughs and then says the N-word right before the black golfer hits the ball to try to make the black golfer get flustered. It's all distractions. It's all diversions. It's all sabotage tricks, little hoaxes, little manipulations by a pack of crooks that run the Republican and Democratic parties and who are losing control at every level. And so that's why they've rammed the accelerator down to the metal. And they are committed. So the battle is joined. Look at this. Blagojevich wanted to get a good gig in D.C., Chicago 2 News reports. That's come out in court, and he's saying that it was all with Axelrod and Obama and Emanuel. Well, of course. I mean, again, it's on record that Emanuel had BP paying for his expensive apartment for years. Totally illegal. I mean, they're a pack of Chicago mafia. The most brazen. I mean, they make Richard Nixon look like a choir boy. All right, we're going to come back, go to your calls, and I'll get into all the rest of the news. Iran, McChrystal, economic.
We will not be forgotten.
To your phone calls here in just a moment. It's back in the news today. WDSU television reporting. The federal government is not allowing sand berms. And so much of talk radio and the media is acting like this is new. I remember a week into this, the states and counties were trying to put berms up to block the estuaries and wetlands, and the feds were there telling them no. I mean, this has been going on for 60 days at least. I mean, this was going on a couple days into the event. And what is it, day 65? I don't know. Before we go to your calls, I want to remind the listeners that we have an online video bookstore at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We actually have two shopping carts now for you to choose from. You can also call the toll-free number and ask about different combos and specials that we're offering. It's 888-253-3139. Fall of the Republic, the presidency of Barack H. Obama, is such an important film to be seen because people are now really ready to see this guy for what he is. And by understanding Obama, you then shatter the left-right paradigm and understand how these offshore banks and corporations, through private intelligence mole networks, have taken control of our government and our society. And how these elites brag about their unelected power over our society. So this is America's Last Stand. Fall of the Republic documents how an offshore corporate cartel is bankrupting the U.S. economy by design. Our leaders are now declaring that world government has arrived, and that the dollar will be replaced with a new global currency. President Obama has brazenly violated Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution by seating himself at the head of the United Nations Security Council, thus becoming the first U.S. president to chair the world body. A scientific dictatorship is in its final stages of completion, and laws protecting basic human rights are being abolished worldwide. An iron curtain of high-tech tyranny is now descending over the planet. A worldwide regime controlled by an unelected corporate elite is implementing a planetary carbon tax system that will dominate all human activity and establish a system of neo-feudal slavery. The image makers have carefully packaged Obama as the world's savior. He is the Trojan horse manufactured to pacify the people, just long enough for the globalists to complete their master plan. This film reveals the architecture of the New World Order and what the power elite have in store for humanity. More importantly, it communicates how we, the people, can retake control of our government, turn the criminal tide, and bring the tyrants to justice. It's got an Oath Keepers extra in it and a lot more. Fall of the Republic, you can get it as low as $8 a piece when you get it with combo deals and specials at InfoWars.com. You can get some of the t-shirts for as low as $5.95 a piece, some of the other films for as low as $4.95, like Loose Change Final Cut. We've got so many great documentaries, Fabled Enemies, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. Of course, our newest film that we produced, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, is just so important to chronicle the crimes of the globalists, how they operate, what their goal is with world government. Over 100 clips of world leaders calling for world government and new world order. This is a great basic primer, an overall view for anybody you want to wake up. Yes, I know you know all about this, but your friends, your neighbors, your family, they're finally ready to hear the truth. So again, get Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined at InfoWars.com. And we have four new t-shirts we just got in yesterday. So they're now up on the shopping carts. One that has an American flag with barbed wire across the front. And it says Legalize Freedom, InfoWars.com. It'll be a great way to start conversations, to explain to people that freedom is under attack. We've got another classic style In the Fed shirt that says In the Fed, Save the Republic, InfoWars.com on the front and back. Just a lot of great new shirts up on InfoWars.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139, or the P.O. Box 19549, Austin, Texas, 78760. Okay, let's go to your calls. Please have your point, your question ready. I will attempt to not belabor and comment too long on what you have to say because I do want to try to get in as many people as possible. Wayne in Missouri, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Yes, Alex. Hello.
Good. Good to talk to you.
I've been about a 10-year listener, first time I've ever been able to get through.
Welcome.
I was listening to the Power Hour this morning, and they had a geologist on talking about the Gulf oil thing, and he was talking about old oil and new oil.
Yeah, abiotic oil and then the oil that comes from dead plant and animal life.
Right, like fossil fuel. But he was saying, if it's old oil, fossil fuel, it may run 3, 4, 6 months. But if it's the other kind of oil, he said it could go forever because it's just being created right now.
Well, generally, 10,000-foot wells, 15,000-foot wells, 18,000, 20,000, and on, generally they do end up running dry or at least slowing. They have a really kind of a parabolic growth rate, a whole bunch at first for a year or two, and then slowing down over a decade. That's the average from the research I've done. I'm no expert, but I've tried to research it. But, yes, they do believe, more and more geologists, that there are abiotic areas, and that's why so many of the old wells drilled in the United States and Europe that were drilled 50 years ago, 70 years ago, 100 years ago are filling back up. And so more and more evidence shows that there is such a thing as fossil fuel. There is fossil oil, but there's also, and fossil coal, but there's also abiotic. And so that's a really good point you make, and we've covered that. Anything else, Wayne?
No, that he'd just be a good guest to get on because he knew what he was talking about. And I've heard you kind of touch on it in the past.
Yeah, what was his name?
Like
what was his name?
About it because that means oil companies have been lying to us forever about running out.
Sure. What was his name?
It was Chris something. It was on the Power Hour.
All right, I'll look into it, sir. I appreciate it. All right, thank you. Let's talk to Ronald in Texas. Ronald, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex Jones, first-time caller. I'm really happy to be on the air with you. Hey, I have a funny analogy with this General McChrystal situation going on.
Yes.
I just moved, and I wasn't used to the shower, getting out of the shower here, and I slipped yesterday and cracked my toe on the edge of the shower. And just busted it all up. It was all black and blue today. Well, I'd like to use this for an analogy of breaking the anatomy of Barack Obama with the thousand cuts method here, and I think in the long run we're going to be okay because this McChrystal guy here, he kind of exemplifies what's going to happen in the future if they're trying to come take our guns and whatnot here in the States. I mean, they're just going to turn on him basically when he starts making demands that don't make sense to these ground troops who have real kind of real bearing here with the United States and have lived here their whole lives and know how it really should be and how it has been in the past.
Well, I'll say this. I have studied McChrystal for the last year and a half. I was aware of his bio before he was appointed the head of the Afghan operation. And, of course, we saw that first meeting with McChrystal and Obama on Air Force One, and it was reported that it was an uncomfortable meeting. Obama has always been uncomfortable around military brass because he's effeminate. He's fake. And, I mean, I could care less being in a room with a bunch of generals. That doesn't impress me. But, you know, look, Obama was probably never even allowed, and from what I've read, to have a BB gun, much less a firearm. And so he was brought up by parents who were openly communist, working, of course, for big banking foundations. And so all of these people are incredibly domesticated. It's like that British documentary maker who came down here for Chris Matthews to interview me. She saw a gun under my broadcast desk on a shelf. This is my studio. I'm here. I protect myself. I'm not living in fear. I'm not going to get on my knees if somebody comes in here after me. You know, some type of criminal thug or something or some nut. I'm going to defend myself. And she began hyperventilating, got scared, couldn't talk. Tears started coming out of her eyes. Like she was so scared, like she'd seen a ghost or Freddy Krueger. And after about a minute, she went, a gun. There was a famous case of Ron Silver, Hollywood person, at Bill Clinton's inauguration back in the early 90s. And right in front of a news reporter, he said, I can't believe they have F-16s flying over us. That's threatening towards us. That's how disconnected, you know, kind of the foot soldiers are, not the higher-level globalist controllers. But they create these domesticated slaves and then turn them loose. And Hillary turned to him right in front of the Washington Post reporter and said, those are our jets now. And so they are really scared of guns, of uniforms, of anything, because they think that the uniform is like attached to the gun. And so, I mean, these are really, I mean, look at Elena Kagan. I mean, this woman looks like a caricature of an evil goblin. Look at Obama. He looks like he's plastic or something, like a space alien. Obama doesn't look human, because he's used so many drugs and, well, other things. But, look, side issue, I appreciate your call. I mean, I don't know what I can really say about McChrystal. McChrystal is corrupt, period. You just go bad to worse with these politicians and generals. Now, Admiral Fox Fallon, 3 years ago, it came out, did refuse to launch a preemptive nuclear strike on more than 100 different sites. Some were regular conventional bunker busters. Others were to be, quote, pinpoint nuke, mini nuke bunker buster attacks. He refused and resigned. And the way he resigned without making it a bigger hubbub is he gave an interview to Esquire and criticized Bush and then resigned. And I don't like to come out and say something just a day or two into it without having proof. But we have enough evidence of how this has been done in the past. Instead of, say, being a Roman general who's disgraced and committing seppuku, I guess the Japanese call it that, ritual suicide. The Romans did that before the Japanese, by the way, with a dagger to the stomach. Or they'd have their second, their aide-de-camp, drive a sword down over their shoulder, in between their shoulder blades and their heart on the left side. That was another way. Or they'd have one of their aides chop their head off. I've been disgraced here, chop my head off. Because they knew how quick life was. It was really no big deal. Time to die. You know. now they don't do that. They don't commit seppuku. They don't jab a dagger into their lower abdomen and then pull it up into the heart. That's part of the tough guyness, that you're able to stick the knife in on the right-hand side of your stomach, draw it through the liver, the spleen, the kidneys, touch the back of the spine, and then jerk upwards with the dagger into the left-hand side under the rib cage. If you're a real man, you're able to complete the cut slowly and jab it up. I mean, that's what people used to be like. Look at the domesticated people we are today. I mean, I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just, you know, the Japanese showing off on how they could gut themselves properly. And then if they had a problem, someone stood behind them and chopped their head off. But side issue, generals don't do that anymore. Kind of like the Greek women would say to the Spartan men, come home with your shields or on them. That is, come back victorious. Don't turn and run, because if armies turn and ran, they would drop their weapons to be able to get away quicker. Come home with your shields or on them. See, that's what humans are, folks, not these domesticated jellyfish that we've become. All right, I'm digressing. The way these generals tend to commit seppuku now is with a parting shot claiming it's an accident. And they find the biggest publication they can, Esquire, Rolling Stone, and they play these liberal leftists. McChrystal's never made a mistake like this in his decades of being an officer. And they let them come in and hear the disdainful comments about Obama and all of his effeminate servants and Holbrooke dithering and being a mentally ill coward and all of this. And pointing out that if we're going to be there, we need more troops to win this. Just like Vietnam generals would say, you're not there to win it, McChrystal. You're there to be in a long, protracted quagmire to sit on top the $500 billion a year and smack. The opium, the heroin, the good stuff being shipped all over the world. And McChrystal, the word I got from military, actually, and this is from different sources, did not like. In fact, get Anthony Schaefer on. He'd even talked about this, three or four months ago with us. McChrystal is, and the whole army doesn't like the CIA taking over the army and taking over the drones, and doesn't like the fact that contractors are above them or are making five times on average what they are. And that they have all this anonymity and that they can get away with murder. But then if the military punches somebody in the nose they've captured because the person tried to RPG them, you know, they go to prison. They know the CIA and the contractors are basically trying to get rid of the Army and the Air Force and the Marines and turn them into bastard minor leagues for the big league. They know there's a private mercenary takeover. And McChrystal criticized that. And he criticized it in the Rolling Stone thing. McChrystal knew full well what was going to happen. Okay, that much we're sure of. And we got an article up on PrisonPlanet.com, Watson just did, that has all the quotes and a boil-down analysis if you want to be able to really see it for yourself. But I was going to get into McChrystal next hour, but I'm already going off into it right now. But I'll cover it more next hour, as I have promised to do. Right now, let's talk to Beverly in Missouri. Beverly, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
I have a question about unemployment extensions. I heard that there'll be 1.2 million people unemployed by June 26th, and that our senator here in McCaskill says that she considers it an entitlement, and that she says this can't go on forever. I'm in my 60s, and I can't find a job. I've been unemployed for about 2 years now. And what I kept thinking of is there's 1.2 million people. Just think of 1.2 million people that are losing their homes and can't pay their bills and what that does to our economy.
Well, ma'am, number one, everything they put out is a distortion. We've had top economists on from one end of the spectrum to the other. Robini, Faber, Paul Craig Roberts, Ron Paul's an economist, not just a medical doctor. He's got a Von Mises degree. The issue is that when they tell you it's 9.8, it was 23 points a year ago. It's well over 25 now. Now, what's 25% of working Americans? Let's say there's 180 million or so people that are working age, 18 to 64, roughly. Now, you got 100 plus million people. Let's just say 100 million. Let's not say 160, 180. The statistics vary. Let's say there's 100 million working people. What's 20% of 100 million? It's 20 million. So there's at least 20 million people. That's a very conservative number. Let's take the government number. Let's say of 100 million, there's 9.8. Well, that's 9,800,000 people that are unemployed or underemployed. We work 2, 3, 4 jobs. This is all by design. And it isn't really an entitlement to a certain point because you have paid into it your whole life. But that was all that money was all stolen by central banks. And so now they've got you right where they want you. I mean, they want to bankrupt you. They want to bankrupt the country. They had to first deindustrialize us. They had then to have a service economy, which was then based on China. So the globalists would control our internal economic system from abroad. And now, yes, ma'am, that's what we've been telling people for over a decade, is they were engineering a complete financial collapse. Anything else, Beverly? I mean, I'm sorry. That's why we've got to get family. We've got to get communities. We've got to stick together. And we've got to deport the illegal aliens, at least shut the borders, because they're there to drive down the wages even further. Stay there, Beverly. We'll get a comment from you on that on the other side. Then Nate, John, Connor, Marty, Steve, and others. Okay, Beverly. I mean, we know what they've done. They've deindustrialized the country. They've gotten us dependent. Their open stated goal is to destroy the industrialized society so that people are so poor they can't even afford to have families or children, then to have a social network of social services that if you are poor, they then will take your children. I mean, this is pure bondage. This is the end of the family, the end of the human cycle, the end of normal human activity. This is a scientific takeover, a corporate takeover of the human race, the destruction of what we are as a species, a destruction of the entire biosphere, a rewriting of the genetic code of every plant and animal on the planet. This is a bunch of control freaks playing God, Beverly. And I'm sorry that they want to take away your unemployment benefits.
Well, the thing that I found was unusual is that it's on the Republican side unanimously. And now the Democrats are coming over and voting for it, too, because they say there's no funding. But then they turn around, and a senator is trying to make it so that if you're on unemployment, that you have to be drug tested. So I'm trying to figure out, where are they getting all this money to do all these other programs and to set up all these other things, but they won't pay the people the money they need to pay their bills?
Well, I did see the provision where they want to drug test everyone, and notice how that works. Oh, you can stay on unemployment even though you can't get a job, and we've destroyed your industrial capacity, and we've got tens of trillions to foreign banks, but you've got to be drug tested. You've got to have a home inspection. In the future, you're not going to be able to have a single-family home dwelling. Those will be illegal. You've got to live in a government dormitory. This is just complete enslavement, and I appreciate your call. You know, most radio shows kind of follow whatever the big news is, and we only follow what the big news is, whatever the media is telling us is the most important issue, when I think it's actually important. And the McChrystal situation is somewhat important just because even the mainstream media is admitting this could shake up the entire war. You notice they announced 2 days ago that, oh, we're not going to have a pullout date listed in 2011. We're going to go ahead and basically stay indefinitely now, just like Iraq. But the guys were just waving their arms telling me there's a press conference going on. What's the word on that? Okay, so yeah, coming up in about 35 minutes, General Stanley McChrystal tenders his resignation. That's breaking. And it's all a diversion, or it turns the war into a soap opera. I mean, it's like this thing a week ago about we found a trillion in lithium. We're all rich. And it turns out it was in 1980s geological reports by the Russians. It was in a World Bank report in 2003. This is like saying breaking news. The Tennessee Titans won the Super Bowl in this year, and the New England Patriots won it in that year. Breaking news, George Washington was the first president of the United States. Breaking news, the King of England at the time was King George III. Breaking news, World War II started when Germany invaded Poland. Breaking news, Abraham Lincoln had a beard. Breaking news, there's $1 trillion. We're going to make money. Let's say there was $1 trillion of lithium laying around that's used, of course, in microchip construction and batteries. whatever made you think, because you paid for it as a taxpayer to send the troops over there, but see, they're kind of baptizing you in evil. The message is, oh, you're going to get some of those goodies. And I've heard good old boys say, good, I'm glad we need oil. We need them Iraqis oil. Let's go over there, take the oil. In fact, I have a clip of a guy at a protest in Crawford, one of the pro-Bush people in my film Terror Storm, going, we go over there, we take the oil. Whatever made you think you were going to get the oil? The communist Chinese are getting the oil, dummy.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, we're already into hour number two. Thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, 23rd day of June, 2010 edition. We had to reschedule last week. Dr. John Coleman, he'll be on with us in the fourth hour today, always informative. We're continuing with your phone calls. In 30 minutes, there's a McChrystal press conference. And all of this serves a larger purpose, as if Obama is commanding a general and Obama's the boss and McChrystal actually runs something. The buck stops with the generals in the White House. And no, you've got big unelected bureaucracies and private corporate networks like the CFR that openly, Hillary Clinton's admitted this, tell the presidency what to do. They had an SPP meeting, they've had a bunch of them, and through FOIA requests, we've gotten the documents over the years. And they have North American Union meetings, and it's the Fortune 100 or so there, and they just openly tell the government what to do, and the government clicks its heels. Because all the major politicians and bureaucracy heads previously worked for Monsanto and General Electric and News Corp and BP and Exxon Mobil and Goldman Sachs. And so when you have these big corporate committee meetings, that's what global governance is. I mean, now they openly say a world bank, a world government, where you pay your taxes directly to the IMF and World Bank. And so I see these people out there saying, oh, there's $1 trillion of lithium in Afghanistan. That's why we're there. Oh, really? We've been there 8 years, $500 billion a year conservatively in opium coming out. How many trillions is that? $4 trillion? Trillions in oil in the area? Trillions in natural gas? They've known for decades there was lithium there. World Bank reports 2003. They just tell you that, and the New York Times tells you that's going to pay for the war. Really, we're now in Iraq almost 7 years. Or not almost, I guess in March it was seven. And the communist Chinese are getting the oil wells. The French are getting the oil wells. Kind of like Obama gave billions of dollars to a Brazilian oil company, partly owned by George Soros, who financed him. Stimulus money. Wall Street Journal, that was back in 2009. By the way, there's no ban on them drilling in the Gulf. See, Obama controls America, and so globalists control America. And so if they shut America down, all of their holdings outside of America go up in value. All of their global corporate extraction mechanisms that extract oil, minerals, drugs, whatever the case is, by NAFTA and GATT and globalism and carbon taxes shutting down Europe and the United States, that makes all these robber barons that got rich off of our nations and our nations funding their private corporate empire, they then have leveraged that out to take over the world, and now they're just shutting America off to make their holdings outside the country go up. And so my heart goes out to Beverly in Missouri, who can't find a job, whose unemployment's about to run out, and now the government's saying in Congress, well, we'll let you have unemployment a few more months, but we got to drug test you. Yeah, let's get the federal government the job of guilty until proven innocent. Give the federal government your bodily fluids. And I saw a press report about 1 month of government drug testing to cost $200 million if they pass this. Look at this. Two people involved in Gulf oil spill cleanup have died, Fox News reports. Two people involved in the Gulf oil spill cleanup have died, the Coast Guard's reported. Meantime, the Coast Guard says BP has been forced to remove a cap that was containing some of the gushing oil in the Gulf of Mexico. That's all coming up. But first, I'm going to come back, and I'm just going to go as fast as I can through your calls. Just every point you bring up is so central, and then I go on a long rant about it. But Wayne, Ronald, Beverly, we got to those guys. Nate, John, Marty, Steve, Michael, others, your calls are coming up. 1-800-259-9231. What's happening is really pretty elementary if you studied history. Once corruption reaches a flashpoint, the criminals look at each other that run society and say, well, my gosh, we're getting away with the moon. Why don't we get away with the universe? Yeah, let's. If we've gotten away with a million miles, let's go a trillion miles.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Let's talk to Nate in Kansas. Nate, welcome.
Hello, Mr. Jones. How are you?
Good, my friend.
I was just curious, just wondering what you think about. You see, you're a really well-informed person, and you're one of the most intelligent people I know. And I've been listening to your show for about 2 years and actually have been really well-informed by you. And you really are where I get most of my news, but I do some independent research as well.
Yeah, you shouldn't just get your news from InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You should get a wide spectrum. You can learn a lot, too, just by watching enemy transmissions, the corporate occupational government media. You can really learn what their game plan is.
Well, sir, I was wondering, what do you see, I mean, from all of your sources and all the information that you've been able to put together so far, where do you actually see all this globalist stuff going? I mean, what is their absolute plan that you have seen? And as far as this thing in the Gulf and everything else, our monetary system, our economic collapse, all of this.
Well, that's a big, big question. I appreciate your call. How do you simplify that? I mean, I said day one when they had the spill, I said whether it's staged or a real accident, they're not going to let a good crisis go to waste. They're going to try to ram through cap and trade. And now they're on the news every day saying we've got to put taxes on you. We've got to tax and regulate your home and have home inspections. We've got to have more government power. And all the evidence shows, it's back in the news today, that they're not letting the states put up sand berms. Most of the oil hasn't come in yet to shore, if you look at the satellite images from NASA. And so it's just horrible. And so the plan is order out of chaos. Wreck everything, and then always play the part of the saviors, getting more control over society via the destruction they've wrought. Basically, a scientific nightmare, a scientific dictatorship. That's what Paul Ehrlich, the chief advisor to George Bush Sr., said they would do. That's what Obama's White House science czar said they would do. John P. Holdren. I mean, this is what these people do. These are conquerors. They're economic and scientific conquerors, and they come in and they study how humans operate and how societies develop. And they write countless books about it, and you can see their entire program being implemented to turn us into completely domesticated animals, not to even carry out a specific job, not to provide milk, not to provide wool, not to even provide meat, but to be domesticated for the orderly process of incremental generational extermination. And so they're eradicating the family system. They're eradicating the national system, the sovereign system. They are waging, I mean, I told you a decade ago, globalist documents said under environmental rules we would all be raised in dormitories and that the family would be broken up and that you wouldn't be able to have single family dwelling homes and new homes couldn't be built. And now that's been passed as law in Europe. They're now trying to implement. I mean, it's all happening. Everything you read in 1984 is what they actually planned. George Orwell was a member of MI6. His real name was Eric Blair. When are people going to figure out that Aldous Huxley, before he died, went clean and said this whole thing is a real plan? It's a eugenics transhumanist program. He wrote Brave New World in 1933, where everybody's genetically engineered and the state decides what genetics you can have and if you can have a kid, and they've got subclasses that serve them. You know, more than half the births in Hollywood now are surrogates. I've been at soccer games that my kids are playing in and basketball games and things and heard mothers talking about their surrogate babies. And, I mean, you know, these are middle-class people having them. They're already growing hearts and livers and clones. But it's okay because it's not a humanoid clone. They mix bovine with the human fetus and then grow it in utero in the cows. That's been going on for at least 12 years. And it's in all the medical literature. It's all going on. I mean, things you can't even imagine are going on, ladies and gentlemen. You're living in a Buck Rogers system, but it's a technocratic psycho system. But meanwhile, the average person only cares about the latest soap opera. You know, the political classes kind of have dumbed down political soap operas. McChrystal, Rahm Emanuel, Blagojevich, Barack Obama. That's just one level. They're just mid-level puppets. The real power structure rarely gets looked at, and more it is. So Brzezinski, you know, panicked 5 weeks ago and raised the alarm and told his CFR crowd, you know, look out, the public can see us now. But most people aren't even tuned into the fake political strata of Obama and Newt Gingrich and all these people who are on the same team. They're tuned into American Idol and the World Cup and Marinus Vanderlube or Marinus Vanderlube's the guy that reportedly firebombed the Reichstag. I get it all mixed up. Who's the guy they're saying killed the girl in South America? And before that, they said he killed the woman in the Caribbean. Joran van der Sloot. All right, I said I'd go to your calls. There we go. Let's talk to John in California. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Morpheus. I actually have a few topics for you this morning. And the first thing is actually something I've not heard you talk about. So I really think it's quite interesting. You've been talking about these boxes that they're going to put, you know, to help regulate the internet. And from what I'm getting here, I used to have a website, but they got rid of it. It's something that they're doing, and it's attacking computers. It's called anti-spyware soft. That's at least one of two attacks that I've been gone under. And basically what this is doing, it seems to me as if, like, these boxes are just more like a decoy, all right? And what they're really doing is what I'm about to tell you. They had it... They had a sort of website up that you could go to because it's supposed to act like some kind of anti-spyware system that you could buy and it would protect your computer. But in reality, it's a Trojan horse. And what it does...
Well, sir, that's not your opinion. I have the Age newspaper out of Australia and the News newspaper both reporting that the government makes people not put a black box in Australia. This is now law. But, quote, anti-spam... software, and what it blocks is tens of thousands of URLs like Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and then that software dials into a central government hub and takes control of your computer. Here the FCC has announced a black box that does it, so what you just said is actually what's going on.
See, the thing is, though, Alex, the first time this happened to me, it was called, It's called Security Tool. And the second time, it's called Anti-Spyware Soft. I would manage the copy, their features page. I wrote it down. And let me just read a few of the things that it says. It says right there on the features page that Anti-Spyware Soft only boasts a large number of enhanced features. It says comprehensive scanning engine. Many spyware constantly rename to avoid detection, but their content remains the same. Anti-Spyware Soft carries out a comprehensive examination of not only the presence of quote-unquote suspicious files, but also all traces of them in their content. Deep soft scans the registry, memory, all files, all folders, cookies in the Windows.
It doesn't just block websites or URLs. It blocks keywords. Yes, and this is going to be federal law. They've already put it in Italy. They're putting it in Australia. And I was just trying to dig through my stack a moment ago. But I'll try to find it during the break. Watson wrote an article about it yesterday. No, it's openly announced, and the government admits it is to censor websites. They admit that it is to shut down the internet as we know it. And Cass Sunstein at the White House admits that. And so, yes, these anti-spyware, anti-spam, anti-cookie systems. Look, it's basically the same model of AOL. Remember AOL was so big a decade ago? And it would give you the kindler, gentler internet. You would go log into their AOL interface. You'd be on AOL's website. It would have filters enabled so you couldn't go to bad places. And the main thing it did was slow down your internet by about half. And so now, that's the biggest industry complaint about Cybersecurity Act. It's not that it snoops on people or restricts their content, but that all of these pieces of software being put in by the FCC at the ISP and at the individual user level totally slows down the web. So that's the third part. It spies on everything you're doing. It restricts what you're able to get access to. But it's just like vaccine makers. So many parents I've challenged when the school's trying to make their kid take shots, they go actually read the insert, and it will tell them, oh, guess what? This vaccine doesn't even protect against papillomavirus, or it doesn't even protect against diphtheria, or it doesn't even protect. It doesn't. It's all lawyer speak. Most of these vaccines, they say on the actual insert, it doesn't even protect you. And so, you know, as you said, with these, quote, spy software systems, but it's more than that. Google now you see this more and more when you go to a website. They'll say, this website is dangerous. This website is, and I'm told that happens with InfoWars and Prison Planet. And it's not true, you know, that we have cookies or whatever. They are desperately trying to keep people away from the alternative media because they're panicking. And what all of you should do is write blurbs, write articles that have the facts, that point out what's happening, and send it to writers@infowars.com or at least post it in the prisonplanet.com forum. Millions of people every year read that site. But remember last year we covered it first, and Glenn Beck, to his credit, did pick up on it and became national news, that when you went to the CARS, Cash for Clunkers, CAR government website, it would have a message saying, when you click here, you agree to the federal government owning your computer and taking control of your computer and downloading the contents of your computer and tracking everything you do. And that was the message. See, oh, you want unemployment that you paid for? We're going to take your blood or urine and a drug test. Oh, you want the cash for clunker? We're going to take your computer over and put snooping software on it. Oh, you want to be able to fly? You got to have a national ID card. Oh, you want to go to a national park? You got to have a national ID card. You want to be able to have a job? You got to have a national ID card. It's total slavery. All right, let's go to Marty calling from New York. Marty, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello, and thank you, Alex. It's an honor to be able to get through to you. I just wanted to make a quick comment regarding your courageous attitude, which is, I think, a key to the problems of the American people. Now, here's what I hear you saying, and here's what I say to the New World Order and to Barack Obama. I say that I stand for truth, justice, and the American way, so go ahead and make my day. Now, that's a combination of Superman and Dirty Harry, and I may have already gotten that from you, but it has a tremendous impact in my conversations, and it impacts on people, and they understand.
Yeah, we've got to get a winning attitude, an angry attitude. We've got to find our spine again and get out of this position of being cowed like a prostitute who's being beaten by a coat hanger by the pimp. America is not a toothless prostitute, crack whore, on her last legs, if we decide we're not.
Exactly. And what you do with your attitude, which rubs off on your listeners, such as myself, is that even though you're accused of being a fear monger, what you help us do, enable us to do, is to overcome fear.
Well, look, I mean, the media fear mongers and then tells you with false fear and tells you worship government. I say you better be afraid of tyranny, like our founding fathers said, and take action against it, or these offshore banks are going to not leave anything left of a republic. And, you know, the question is, have the issues I've talked about come true in the last decade? And the answer is yes. That's why our credibility's gone up. The mainstream credibility has gone down. We are becoming the mainstream. The mainstream media is becoming what they are in the public's mind, a pack of lying criminals. Marty, I appreciate your call. We've got to get our fighting spirit back, our spirit of 1776, and recognize how much corruption and tyranny is around us before it gets worse. And as you notice, the establishment knows we're waking up, so they're now rushing to the finish line right now, trying to get their oppressive system in place before it's too late for them. I mean, look at Hoyer nixing middle-class tax cuts, says they're too expensive. See, you aren't going to get middle-class tax cuts like Obama said. And now they've detailed what's in the health bill. Nobody's getting free health care. They cut Medicare and Medicaid funding but put more people on it. It lowers the standard of care. The insurance companies wrote this. The Republicans told you the insurance companies could do no wrong and were fighting Obama. They wrote the bill. Just like Republicans are saying Obama's being mean to BP. That's all a sideshow. They're one of his biggest financiers. They're the king of the carbon tax. This is all stage, ladies and gentlemen. It's like a WWF match. I'm sorry, Hulk Hogan did not fight Andre the Giant in WrestleMania 2. It's not real. Let's go ahead and talk to Steve in California. You're on the air, Steve.
Hi, Alex. I really appreciate you taking my call. I just had 2 points that I wanted to get to about the upcoming energy problems and the state of the economy. And I live in Sacramento, and I know you've touched a couple of times about how the government wants to control the thermostat in the houses. Now I think this leads right to what's going on in Europe.
Well, the government's announced that. I mean, they're putting smart meters here in people's homes in Austin without asking.
Well, not only that, is that if you can't have any new fireplaces if you build a new house, and if you already have one.
That's right. Most European countries under EU rules have now phased that in. Special taxes on outdoor space heaters. Special taxes if you want to buy a little heater. You know, if you work in a shack or something, you know, during the winter, anything that allows you to live is having taxes. This is slavery.
Right. So when you tell people that they're going to expect, you know, $7 to $8 gas, they go, yes, that's good. We do need that. We're using the dirty energy. But people don't remember the Enron rolling blackouts, where after 12 hours you had rushes on the grocery store just to get ice because your refrigerators weren't working.
And what happened? The internal memos of Enron came out 2 years later. I told people at the time in 2000, I said, this is staged. They've done this in Africa and other countries. It's in the IMF World Bank battle plan that is public, that they've learned, well, look, if we turn the power off a little bit, people will accept double, triple, and even quadruple, thinking there is none. But if we just raise the prices, they'll get mad, and so we'll have staged blackouts. And they even had members of the Congress and the legislature of California. This is on record. And the Secretary of the Army, he later went on, Mr. White, to be the Secretary of the Army. Mr. White, the Enron executive, would give them hundreds of fake tours showing them fake computer programs showing the energy trading. There was no energy trading. Enron was just ripping everyone off as a mafia organization, and they wrote the current tax plan, the carbon tax plan, with Al Gore in 95 and 96, along with BP and Goldman Sachs. Stay there. I'm going to have you finish up, Steve in California, then Michael, Kobe, Robert, Pat, and others. But absolutely, this is just all a mafia scam. All right, I'm going to continue with your calls throughout this hour. It's always informative, the different items and angles and issues you bring up. And then in the third hour, I'm going to go through the latest McChrystal developments, the oil spill information, what's happening in the economy, the Big Brother section of news. It's all extremely important today. And we have a guest, John Coleman, who was under the weather last week, will be joining us in the fourth hour today to get into where he sees this world government moving with his very informative and educated perspective. Right now, Steve, finish up the point you were making about smart meters, the takeover of society, taxing all human activity. The UN, the head climatologist at NASA, Peter Singer, John P. Holdren, all of them, the UN meetings, Maurice Strong, they all state just thousands of times that they're taking control to shut off resources to end industrial society. And they're teaching people's children this in the schools, and they're really doing it. where everything you do is government controlled, and that only select global corporations are allowed to even operate. So it is slavery by every yardstick. Finishing up your point.
We, right here in the Bay, and they receive $500 million in grants from BP to research biofuels and alternate energy. But then BP, whatever they produce, they own those patents, and they get to direct which research is actually published.
Yeah, so we missed the first part of what you had to say. We had you faded down. Start over again.
What I'm saying is that, speaking of brainwashing in the schools, right here in the Bay Area, you have UC Berkeley, which receives about $500 million in grants from BP, and they own all the patents. Whatever these young researchers produce, they get to cherry pick what good data and what bad data they get to even publish. There's not going to be any real solutions. The infrastructure for an alternate energy future isn't even in place. By having this moratorium on drilling in the Gulf, they're just exacerbating the situation. In addition to the ongoing conflict in the Gulf with the Strait of Hormuz closed down, all this oil shipped in from the Persian Gulf is going to be tied up in an indefinite war.
I hear you, and I appreciate your call. I really do. In fact, let me just digress for a moment and cover this now. Look, British Petroleum, if you go out and do a search for carbon taxes, global government, you will see more videos than I can watch, more TV ads and radio ads than I can even listen to or watch. I mean, I've never had time to sit there and watch them all. World government this, world government that, carbon taxes this, carbon taxes that. They're funding high schools, colleges. When I say tens of billions funding the brainwashing to go on the new carbon tax economy run by BP, I mean, we've always talked about BP being the kingpin. And then now you notice the kingpin of pushing this. And they themselves controlled by Goldman Sachs, who are some of the biggest funders of the carbon tax worldwide, and to sell the derivatives. It is a form of new serfdom where everything is tracked, everything is traced, and where they incrementally cut off our resources and energy. It is siege. It is military financial attack. And in this controlled economy, they are able to then only allow their businesses and their subsidiaries to make profits and then create global artificial monopolies. This is world domination. It's a perfect example, and it's been reported on a year ago by the Wall Street Journal, and so I want to go over some of this news. Today, even though President Obama is against offshore drilling for our country, he signed an executive order to loan $2 billion of our taxpayer dollars to a Brazilian oil company, which is the eighth largest company in the entire world, to drill for oil off the coast of Brazil. The oil that comes from the operation is for the sole purpose and use of China and not for the USA. Now, here's the real clincher. The Chinese government is under contract to purchase all the oil that this oil field will produce, which is hundreds of millions of barrels of oil. We have absolutely no gain from this transaction whatsoever. But wait, it gets worse. Guess who is the largest individual stakeholder in this Brazilian oil company and who would benefit from this the most? We've talked about this last year when it came on the Wall Street Journal, but here it is again. It is the American billionaire George Soros, whose former employee is the head of Obama's transition team, who was one of President Obama's most generous financial supporters during his campaign. If you were able to connect the dots and follow the money, you are probably as upset as other Americans are about this. Not a word of this transaction has been broadcast on any part of any of the major news networks. This article continues. The above quoted article reference and segment attributed to Fox News Channel host Glenn Beck criticizing President Obama for signing an executive order to lend $2 billion to the Brazilian oil company to finance offshore drilling. That's right, part of the stimulus money. And I say good job to Beck. He's actually really reporting on something here. All without securing reciprocal oil exports from Brazil or any other benefit to the U.S., nearly all of the substantive claims made in the article. And it just goes on and on and on. My friends, look at Iraq. Who's getting the main contracts for oil? China. Who got the Panama Canal? China. Who gets to have almost no tariffs, but they have giant tariffs on our products? China. Why did our government pass tax incentives in the last 20 years to pay American companies to move to China? Now look at where we are. Totally bankrupt. 20%+ of the public can't get a job. Our society is falling apart. The Chinese, the Russians are all over the Gulf drilling whatever they want. And Obama comes and tells any companies with U.S. subsidiaries that they can't drill in the Gulf. Since when can Obama tell somebody if they can drill 100 miles or 200 miles or 40 miles off the coast? Our waters only go out 12 miles. Their whole carbon tax was dead in the water, pun intended. And so they went and just blew that sucker. They gave orders to Anadarko and to BP that they knew would cause the well to spill, to come in early before they were prepared, and that they're going to let that sucker gush forever and ever until they get their carbon taxes. You know, something must be done, the media says. Something must be done. We know the answer. Put some taxes on the American people. That'll fix it. All right, let's go ahead and go to Michael in Texas. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hello, Alex Jones. I just wanted to thank you for your courage. And I've seen the Zeitgeist. I've seen Aaron Russo's America, Freedom, the Fascism. And I've seen that DVD of the Empire Has This Elitist Eugenics Plan. And my friend Matt, David, and myself, we thought of an idea on how we could screw over the banking aristocrats, the big corporations, the big government, and all the other scumbags from Jekyll Island. And we just wanted to know if there's any. We live in Austin too, and we were wondering if there's any place where we can meet you, because we want to know what's your opinion on our idea and if you could help us.
Well, Michael, I barely have time to see my family. When I get off air every day, I have stacks of work to do. And so, unfortunately, I can't. People every day are saying, have a strategy meeting, come here, meet with us, talk to us. You're talking to me right now here on the radio. And unfortunately, people always get crestfallen or scorned when I can't meet with them. I just don't have the time. But if I was you, I would implement your ideas. And if they don't succeed, it doesn't matter. At least you've put up a resistance. And resistance is victory. The biggest thing is educating the public about the real political paradigm, exposing the offshore piratical corporate elite for what they are, how they use big government to shut down their competition, how Republicans lie and say corporations are wonderful, the Democrats lie and say government is wonderful, when the truth is both institutions are big and corrupt and team up to abuse the individual. But also, Michael, there's not a silver bullet to this. There's not one plan, from what I've seen, that'll bring these people down. We have to first change ourselves. You know, it's an inside job. We have to change ourselves and become better people and more educated and more informed about the world. And we have to decide what our priorities are. And then the most important thing is wake other people up. Wake individuals up. Pay it forward. Somebody, Michael, woke you up. Now it's up to you to wake someone else up. And you don't have to teach them, you know, everything you've learned over the last few years. You've just simply got to let them understand there's a bigger agenda afoot and to start questioning things, Michael. But God bless you. I appreciate your call. Let's go ahead and talk to Kobe in Utah. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
I'm all right, sir.
Good. Hey, I just had a few comments for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The first one has to do with you say that we need to be angry, which I agree with, but I also think you need to be focused. It seems like a lot of people aren't focused on what we need to do, namely ending the Federal Reserve. It seems like we get sidetracked a lot of the time on 9/11 and things like that.
Well, some people are going to wake up by seeing a Fox News clip where the Marine Corps commander admits they're helping grow the opium. Some people are going to get woken up by McChrystal admitting that Obama is basically an empty suit who reads off a teleprompter. Some people are going to get woken up by researching Operation Ajax, Gulf of Tonkin, or 9/11. Some people are going to get woken up by seeing the army shooting women and children from a helicopter and then laughing about it. Some people are going to be woken up by learning about the private Federal Reserve. We probably spend an hour or two a week talking about the Federal Reserve. I mean, we can't just talk about one subject. I have Ron Paul on every month. I lobby to audit the Fed. And, you know, you called in, you're talking about it. But I think this is a wide spectrum fight. And I think one big thing is people say, you know, other people are going to disagree with you about what they think is most important. I tend to agree with you that, you know, auditing the Fed, exposing the banking structure, but even if we don't get an audit right away of them, exposing them as the real government and as the illegitimate government in there that's really pulling the strings, calling the shots. That's what I just said to the last caller. I think more and more people say, well, you need to do this or you need to do that. Well, how about you guys do it? I mean, nothing can – so many people are looking for a one-size-fits-all, one action, and the New World Order, you know, falls because the mighty Hercules goes and fights the Hydra. There is no Hercules, folks. There's the Herculean spirit, though. I mean, if you, you know, individually want to go out there and face down dragons every day – that is on the city bus telling everybody about sodium fluoride being deadly poison. But, I mean, go ahead. You're on the air. Talk about the Federal Reserve right now.
Well, I just think that we need to be a little bit more like Ron Paul. He doesn't mention 9/11 at all. He doesn't say it was an inside job or it wasn't. He just focuses on ending the Federal Reserve, which I think we need to do. And another thing I had a comment on is if you have Sirius or XM radio listeners, or even if you're thinking about getting it, or if you're not thinking about getting it, call SiriusXM up. Tell them that if they get Alex Jones on the air every day, live, a full show, that you will subscribe.
That is a good idea. You know, I've never really lobbied XM, but that, they're carrying 1 hour of the daytime show at night and 3 hours on Saturday. And they're looking to trying to carry us live. The problem is, you know, they get filled up with other shows and they don't want to bump other people that are in those positions. But good point. I appreciate your call. Look, I'm here to discredit this government. This is not my government. It is illegitimate. It violates the Bill of Rights and Constitution religiously. It is there trying to create criminal, illegal, treacherous, treasonous precedents to fully dismantle our checks and balances and our freedoms. And so, you know what? I mean, if the evidence shows 9/11 was an inside job, I'm going to talk about it. It's an attitude of telling the truth. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest in a day. Okay? I want people a decade from now to know that what I said was the truth so that they can then recognize the evil that they face in their time, in their day. I've always understood the basics of history. And people heard me on air 15 years ago. And they laughed at me. And you know what? They're listeners today. I can't tell you how many station managers or owners or station groups call up Affiliate Relations at Genesis or call me and say, I'm going to pick your radio show up. I thought you were a lunatic 5 years ago when I heard you as a guest on our station on another show. And everything you said in that interview came true. Or it's all coming true. I was on Mancow Muller, big syndicated show this morning, and he apologized and said, I guess they are going to put black boxes in to take control of the web. And, you know, I guess they are putting, I mean, you know, he was there having to admit I was right about all these things. Look, 95% of what we cover is right out of a government document. Okay. And so I realize that if I'm willing to be called a kook and a nut and a dangerous lunatic by the mainstream controlled media, that's my job. I mean, I'm going to get the information out to warn people, and I don't care if I get hurt in the process. My job is to tell the truth, and it's my job to take the bullets. It's my job to take the political bullets, to hit the political barbed wire so people can climb over my back, folks. I'm a shock troop. I'm trying to beat the New World Order. I'm trying to really defend humanity and have liberty and to truly unleash the power of human destiny. And so I don't care if Chris Matthews has the Southern Poverty Law Center on to say, you know, that Alex Jones is going to cause people to go out and commit murders. It's not true. but it's a testament to the fact that my message is dangerous to the system that they're doing things like that. Robert in Montana, you're on the air.
Alex, I want to talk about, I'm in Billings, Montana, and I want to talk about the tornado that hit the Metrosport.
They use that as a pretext to lock down the city.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me, but this is my take on it. That was done by the federal government through HARP, and it's I'm about a 3-mile straight line from the Metro. And what's interesting to me is that hit practically only the Metro. It was a surgical strike because the federal government has been trying to get into the back door of Montana through several different avenues for quite a long time. And now Schweitzer, our governor, has... It's in the news now that he's going to request federal funds. Well, of course,
that's right. Montana's been kicking the feds out, and then you get hit by this mega tornado. And for those that just joined us, it is declassified. It is on record that by 67, they could create hurricanes, tornadoes, typhoons in the Pacific, and that they could steer them, control them, weaken them, make them stronger. Stanford Research Institute, Naval Weapons Laboratory. It is AP Reuters. I interviewed the father of weather weapons, Ben Livingston. It's on PrisonPlanet.tv. And, yes, you see the big eugenicist, White House press secretary, has also talked about weather weapons. But you see the White House science czar, John P. Holdren, talking about geoengineering the planet. These global warming freaks aren't just going to blow oil wells to get what they want. They've got weather weapons that they'll use to scare people. Stay there. Well, you know McChrystal has resigned, and Obama and Biden and Petraeus, at least Petraeus didn't have a seizure when he was up there. Biden had like this Mussolini frown on his face the whole time, complete gangster. Fits in well with the Chicago mob boys. It's just a complete joke. Look, we're there to sit on top of the opium, and so contractors can make trillions of dollars over the years. That's why we're there, and McChrystal didn't like it and wanted more trips to actually win the war, and that's not going to happen, just like Vietnam. Also coming up the next hour, I kept getting reports of this in the last week, and now I've seen some local newscasts, I've seen YouTube videos of the rain falling down, and you can see the oil, all the oil sheen, even in central Texas, in Louisiana, in Mississippi. So we're going to be going over some of that. The article's up on Infowars.com by Kurt Nimmo, Toxic Rain Falls in Louisiana. That's just some of the news coming up when we start the next hour. But going back to Robert Montana, yes, I am really concerned. And my new film coming out in the fall is about not just chemtrails, but weather weapons, eugenics. There's no doubt the government admits they have weather weapons. And you've got to look at some of this freak weather that strikes sometimes as a weapon to bring federal control in. Plus, if you understand big central banks control the U.S. and all they want is bankrupt states so they control them, then it's something that has to be looked at. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100%. I was back in 96, I was traveling on I-90 here, going south toward the Wyoming border, and I remember I was in four-wheel drive doing about 40 miles an hour because the highway was so bad. I'm surprised, because out here they will shut the highways off. They'll put a gate across if it's bad enough and you don't go anywhere. And I think I was right at that point. I didn't see another car for 20, 30 minutes at a time either way. And this was in 96. I didn't know anything about chemtrails. Now, since you brought this up, and I saw out my windshield, this is the afternoon, it was a sort of a white overcast because it was very cold, a lot of ice, a lot of snow. And I saw what looked to me like the air itself being electrified. Never had seen anything like that in my life. And I'm driving along in my truck, and this stuff is everywhere. And you could see it in the air. It looked like electricity, like particles of electricity, if one could see particles of electricity.
Yeah, what they do is you'll have planes right next to planes. I saw this last weekend where one jet hasn't had it mixed with the fuel. We now have the federal patent and that the Pentagon is doing it. That way the airlines don't even know. And it disperses the aluminum dioxide, barium salts to create the nuclei for particulates. And then you'll just see in a space of an hour the entire sky filled with trails, and they turn into mist, and then you'll see almost the yellow chemical oily mirage in there. And then I've talked to some engineers locally who say that the government covertly at some of their local weather stations, that they're actually ionizing the atmosphere. And then I had the head of HAARP on. That was so bizarre. What was it, 3-4 years ago? The Air Force contacts me and says, you've said a lot about HAARP. How would you like to have the director of HAARP on? And sure enough, he came on and then admitted they're even able to ignite the atmosphere, but said that it's all friendly and no big deal. And then you have Secretary of Defense Cohen back at 97 telling Army Times at a press conference, but the Army Times reported on it. It was April 28th, 1997, that yes, they have weather weapons and tectonic weapons and race-specific weapons. And then we have Dick Cheney in the September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses, Project for the American Century document, talks about legitimizing the use of race-specific bioweapons. So I appreciate your call. I mean, the point is, we're in a Buck Rogers future. Much of it's suppressed and classified, and we're not in Kansas anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You're living in a science fiction movie. You need to understand that. And they've got vaccines that reprogram your brain. They admit... it's just the sky's the limit, folks. Even if we were fully conscious of this and fought back every way we could, it's a serious battle we're facing. But if people are busy sucking their thumbs, only caring about the World Cup, we don't have a prayer. We'll be right back.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're live. It's Wednesday, the 23rd day of June 2010. Got 2 hours left in the radio broadcast. We are now simulcasting at PrisonPlanet.tv. For PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. Okay, what I'm going to do now is continue in this little short segment with a few calls and then a news blitz for at least two segments coming up. And then we'll continue with calls until Dr. John Coleman joins us in the last hour, author, researcher, to give us his take on the Iran situation, the oil spill, McChrystal, all of it. And he also, of course, was with MI6, so that's coming up in the last hour. And we'll have open phones then as well. Pat, Joanne, Craig, Ann, we're going to get to all of you here in the next few segments. Let's go ahead and talk to Craig first at WIFL. More and more, I'm going to start trying to get listeners to tell us how they're listening. In the past, I would do that, whether it was AM, FM, shortwave, internet, satellite. Over the years, we just quit asking how people are calling in. But if you'd like to tell us how you're listening, that's always good. We want to plug all these great affiliates, WIFL 100.4.2. I think they have point twos. Don't they have odd numbers? But whatever, 100.4 there in Florida. Craig, good to have you on with us.
Hi, Alex. Yeah, it's 104.3. Listen, first of all, I want to talk about McChrystal. I heard Michael Savage last night say he used to work for the CFR, which I find troubling. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, everybody hates Obama, which is good. I mean, they built him up as God. He's not God. He's basically a cocaine head from Indonesia. But it's important to tear down that image because the globalists could use him as a messianic leader. And they tried it. It failed. So everybody wants to look at McChrystal as good because he did want more troops to actually win the war. The war is being won. People always want to win the drug war as there's triple the heroin, double the cocaine flooding in now than what there was 20 years ago. There's more people in prison. The drug war is a great success. The government shipping most of it in, laundering the money through private banks. And so McChrystal has been in control and is so bold, he gave the orders to admit that we are guarding poppies and helping grow it. And McChrystal, from my research, is a globalist. And I've also seen him trying to integrate women into frontline roles, which is just, it's a joke, folks, okay? I mean, women aren't supposed to be in frontline combat. Nobody does it. It doesn't work. It's men act differently when they see a woman's head blown off. They do another man. It just isn't the way things are done. And so I particularly, from looking at him, don't like McChrystal. You know, I know Savage, because I happened to tune in last night driving home, was calling him a great Spartan and, you know, an incredible guy, and Obama's uncomfortable around him. Well, I'm sure Obama is uncomfortable around him. I mean, I'm sure McChrystal's better than Obama. And I mean, anybody that's that high level as a general is going to have a problem. Fox Fallon, you know, the head of CENTCOM, refused to attack Iran. And that came out. I mean, he was a good guy from what we saw. They've had some other people step down. And I don't really want to judge him because I don't know enough about him. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Thoughts on McChrystal. I think this is all, like, I want to use your word, staged. I think this is all planned on his part. And follow me on this. I think he did this little thing in Rolling Stone on purpose to get himself fired by the Democrat. This way it kind of looks like the bad cop, good cop routine, where look at that. Obama fired a general, and I think McChrystal's plan is to run for president. And because, think about it, the Republicans don't have nobody. They keep talking about Gingrich. He'll never get elected. They're going to keep talking about Romney. He's unelectable.
Petraeus isn't going to get elected after that seizure.
Oh, really?
We know they've been talking about a Mitt Romney-Petraeus ticket. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's just my thought. Maybe I think it was might have been done on purpose just to
Sir, I totally agree with you. There is no doubt this was done on purpose. I mean, McChrystal isn't an idiot. He told Rolling Stone magazine all of this and knew full well it was going to be published. So I agree with you. This is staged, and he wanted out of the military and probably to run for president. Great point.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, we're now 8 minutes into this third hour. Your phone calls are coming up at 1-800-259-9231 on this live Wednesday, June 23rd, 2010 edition. Let's go over some of the most important headlines of the day. Well, the government's pleading with president to allow work to continue. WDSU television. The federal government is shutting down the dredging that was being done to create protective sand berms in the Gulf of Mexico. The berms are meant to protect the Louisiana coastline from oil, but the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department has concerns about where the dredging is being done. And so leaders of different parishes and others are pleading with the federal government to stop blocking them. Once again, our government resource agencies, which were intended to protect us, are now leaving us vulnerable to destruction of our coastline and marshes by the impending oil. Because, see, government is all about following the orders of those above you so that the globalists can control society. How does this dovetail with the airline story? I saw an article about a flight from Europe to New Jersey, to Newark. On the 16-hour flight, it was over 100 degrees for much of the flight, and people were panicking. And I always hear about these articles about how they're under international and national regulations where a plane will be on the tarmac for 4, 5, 6, sometimes 24 hours, and they can't open the door to let the hot air out or to let new oxygen in because of a TSA regulation. I mean, we are crippled by regulations. And you go to China, there are almost no regulations, so all the industry goes there. And this is all done by design. But every day we see articles where they can't put dredge boats out there because the feds say no and the Coast Guard says no, or where they can't block the estuary so the oil doesn't come in. And most of the oil, according to the NASA photographs, is still out in the Gulf and going towards Florida. Most of it hasn't hit yet, and so there's still time to block these estuaries and rivers and lakes that this oil is going to back up in and get into. But the federal government's doing everything they can right now to stop that, because the bigger the crisis, the more power and control these people are going to get. It's just so sad to see this. To see all of this just intensifying. Let's get into some economic news here. This is out of the Associated Press. Now, remember, they've been telling you for 3 years that the recession's going to go away and that the prosperity's right around the corner, or that we've reached prosperity. The real unemployment's above 22%. Inflation's higher than what they say. Anybody who is out in the free market and not working for government, where government jobs are up, pays up for government, that is, if it's federal government, New home sales plunge 33% with tax credits gone. New home sales dropped to lowest level on record in May after federal homebuyer tax credit ends. And then I've got another story here where the Democratic Congress has now made the decision to cut the middle class tax cuts that Obama promised. And next you'll hear there are actually going to be tax increases. But the tax increases on the middle class and the wealthy will just be a tax increase on the working class because people will just lay off more employees or cut their pay. But new home sales plunge. Sales of new homes collapsed in May, sinking 33% to the lowest level on record as potential buyers stopped shopping for homes once they could no longer receive government tax credits. Continuing, J.P. Morgan set sights overseas. New York Times, J.P. Morgan Chase emerged from the financial crisis as one of the strongest banks on American soil. Now it wants to make up lost ground overseas. The bank chief executive, Jamie Dimon, announced a series of management changes towards the end on Tuesday. So they've sucked America dry. The locusts are moving on to other fields.
The
big central banks, the big insiders, they're all making record profits right now. They're doing quite well, but the rest of the economy is in free fall. I mentioned this yesterday, but I thought I'd actually get into the headline today. Lord Rothschild Fund joins World Gold Council to put 12.5 million pounds of gold bullion into vault. Or 12.5 million worth, the article should say. That could be misinterpreted as 12.5 million physical pounds, but it goes on from there. So the elites, I saw another article 2 days ago where the Saudi royal house has doubled its gold holdings. That's one reason gold continues to go up and up and up. Here's one out of the L.A. Times. Of course, the L.A. Times had a story a month ago about the state government is announcing, along with the city government of L.A., that they're no longer going to pave many roads or streets or fix sidewalks. All money must go to interest on the debt to the bankers. All money. It says Maywood to lay off all city employees, dismantle police department. So record taxes, record regulations, and less government that actually provides a service. Just this is what they – I mean, in Nigeria, they pay almost all their taxes to the IMF and World Bank, nothing to the people. It's the same thing in Costa Rica or Argentina or places where these bankers run things. Continuing here, of course, Costa Rica hasn't been fully imploded yet, but they're going to get around to it. Don't worry. I mentioned this yesterday. It was all over the Australian news that, yes, the government will make you install software that censors what you can view, but also tracks what you're doing with messages back in the software downline back to the government servers. And, of course, here the FCC announced last week, and it was in the Financial Times of London and AP, that we'll have a black box with software in our house that tracks everything we do. But not only will it track everything that we do, it will also restrict what we can see. So it's interesting to see the government telling the truth about what they're doing brazenly, but to see the media spinning it. And here's an article out of the News of Australia where they spin it. No antivirus software, no internet connection. And they tell you, oh, it's this special government-approved software. And more, even outside of government control, it's these government software systems and government-approved software systems that restrict where you can go on the web, what you can visit, and they're reporting back. A lot of the software will ask, oh, your Yahoo Messenger failed, or oh, your antivirus failed. Would you like to report back what, you know, to the virus company? And people just click yes, and it sends all your information. But now under this, no, here in the U.S., Australia, Europe, places like Italy, it doesn't matter. They're just going to do it. Australians would be forced to install antivirus and firewall software on their computers, and of course, then that's government designed, before being allowed to connect to the internet under a new plan to fight cybercrime. Now, of course, separately, the government admits this is, quote, stronger than Chinese-style net censorship. And if their computer did get infected, internet service providers like Telstra and Optus would cut off their connection until the problem was resolved. So see, now these big ISPs under government control, they're in your computer watching what's going on. What did John McCain say 4 years ago he wanted if you, quote, downloaded questionable material? They would, quote, kill your computer remotely. That's where this is going, where your computer is nothing but a terminal tied into government, where your cell phone is a terminal tied into government. That's cybersecurity, and the same system is being implemented worldwide. Then they're going to use all these firewalls and sluggish things they're adding to bankrupt and screw up the old web and force you onto Internet 2, where you publicly register and go through their systems, that it's going to be super high-speed connection. And they won't ask you. When they come out to install your new cable or your new TiVo or your new system, your new Netflix, it will just be in the software that you're not allowed to visit Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I mean, that's in the FCC announcements. Do you realize how big this is? Those are two of the recommendations that come from a year-long inquiry into cybercrime by the House of Representatives Standing Committee on Communications. Notice England the same week made the announcement and said the same thing. And the same week, the U.S. government announces, we found porn and hacking and crime on the web. We're going to control your computer and all the ISPs. The White House will have a kill switch on any part of the Internet it wants. And Lieberman says, what's wrong with that? China can do it. We've got to be able to do this if we're in a war and they're gearing up for the Iran attack right now. I mean, do you see what they're doing, ladies and gentlemen, how bold this is? In the past decade, cybercrime has grown from a nuisance of the cyber market hacker into an organized transnational crime committed for vast profit and often with devastating consequences for its victims. And there is a lot of real crime on the web, but most of it's government and big corporations. And I'll guarantee you, they've war-gamed attacks on the web the Pentagon has. They're getting ready for false flags. They'll carry out the attack, use it as the pretext to take over the web. Because the web is killing the mainstream media because it's offered real diversity, real news and information, and real choice. You've got the mainstream media cheerleading and begging for the government to take over the web, and you've got the FCC saying the fees and fines from these boxes will be paid to, quote, support government messages in traditional, respected, trusted, that's in quotes, mainstream media. CBS, ABC, Fox, where the government already has what they call propaganda placement or behavior placement, where the message is not just in the ads, but in the shows themselves, anti-family, anti-gun, pro-vaccine, pro-infanticide, pro-abortion, pro-world government. I mean, you can't even get Archie comic books now for your kids, you know, for your 8-year-old. They want to teach them all about not just sex, but, anti-family messages, just everything is bathing the population in pure evil. That's what you've got to realize. Everything is a message. Everything has an agenda. I have an agenda for freedom and liberty and the republic and private property and the Second Amendment. I wear it on my sleeve right here. I wear it on my heart. I speak it. I have an agenda. I tell you who I am. I tell you what I want. They don't. They know you're relaxed watching a movie or relaxed watching a sitcom. You're in that suspended disbelief, unquestioning mode, eating popcorn, and they just are hitting you with brainwashing. Be aware of it. Ask yourself why you value the World Cup over private property. About 45 minutes ago, Jaron told me he was watching a live press conference with Petraeus, Obama, and Vice President Biden, and that he saw Obama say, our democracy is strong because of institutions, not individuals. And we were not recording yet on TiVo, and you know how you can rewind on TiVo, or whatever system that is out there, DVR, while the show's going, and then we had it, and I told him to play it, and we lost it. But we'll have it by tomorrow regardless. It'll be all over YouTube and stuff. People will upload it. And he did say, our democracy is strong because of institutions, not individuals. I mean, that is the opposite of what this country was founded on. And it's just so incredible to see them openly teaching collectivism. Collectivism is bondage. Collectivism isn't being able to choose who you want to associate with, what you want to try to be in life, what you want to say, think, wear, eat, what you believe in, what you want to stand up for. It's just so amazing. I'm going to continue with the news after the break with McChrystal and what's happening with Iran and a lot more. But first, let's go ahead and go back to your calls. I've covered news for a while. Let's go ahead and who's up first here, John? Pat in Texas, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you that I almost fell off my chair last night at the 10 o'clock news on Channel 4 in Dallas, Fox News. They were talking about the Dallas Police Department, and he called it a paramilitary force, not police.
No, no, they hide all this in plain view, and they tell the police you're federalized, you're a paramilitary force. Their internal training is gun owners, veterans, conservatives are their number one enemy. I mean, look, the police and military on an individual basis are not traitors, are not bad. Some are, but on an individual basis, you can't judge them. But the system and the orders they're given and the culture that they've been incrementally brought into is 180 degrees in the opposite direction of our republic. It is treason.
Yeah, I just didn't expect them to do it, like you said, in plain sight.
Ma'am, I didn't expect the Pentagon to admit they're growing the opium in Afghanistan, or they put out fake bin Laden videos, or that they lie and say they've killed al-Qaeda leaders. I mean, again, they're really getting to the point of just throwing it in our face.
Well, anyway, I just couldn't believe it.
Ma'am, I can't believe it either. God bless you, and I appreciate your call. I mean, I couldn't believe it 2 weeks ago when I had the Fort Worth Star-Telegram with the police chief with the headline, Police Chief Promotes Hormone Replacement. And then he was talking about the police injecting anabolic steroids and testosterone and how great it is. I mean, again, I'm not the toughest guy in the world, but I'm red-blooded, and I've got my normal testosterone, and I've got to control myself. I've got to think, I'm a loving, nice person. I'm a good person. You know, I'm a sweet person. I'm the type of person, somebody gets in my face, I immediately want to physically attack them. That's how men have always been. What? I mean, no wonder cops are going crazy, beating people up and going nuts all the time, injecting steroids. It's come out some departments, half of the men are on roids. Some of the women are taking it. What are you doing? I mean, I've read what anabolic steroids do, and it intensifies everything that testosterone already does naturally. Delusions of grandeur, excessive rage, aggression, lunacy, I mean, warlikeness. I mean, of course we've got problems. They're hopping the cops up on steroids. Oh, man. I just don't understand it. I mean, I cannot imagine, from what I've read, taking steroids, folks. I cannot. I mean, I feel crazed right now. I feel completely aggressive right now. I feel like I could go out and get in a fight I could take on 10 guys right now. That's how I feel every day. And the more I exercise, the worse it gets. Yeah, that's why when I diet and don't lift. See, I've been dieting. I've lost a lot of weight. I've been lifting. I've been running. I've been swimming. And I'm just getting wild. That's because I'm boosting my regular testosterone. So you got a bunch of paramilitary people hopped up on drugs running around who've been taught the American people are their enemy. We've got this clip. Let's go ahead and play it as we go out to break. Here is the clip of Obama.
Includes adherence to a strict code of conduct. The strength and greatness of our military is rooted in the fact that this code applies equally to newly enlisted privates and to the general officer who commands them. That allows us to come together as one. That is part of the reason why America has the finest fighting force in the history of the world. It is also true that our democracy depends upon institutions that are stronger than individuals.
Okay, I'm going to get back into what happened with McChrystal today, my take on it, some of the bizarre things that Obama had to say at his press conference an hour ago. But before I go any further, I wanted to tell listeners that we have a lot of new great Patriot T-shirts. that literally turn you into a walking, talking billboard for liberty. We have one that's no Obamacare, with a don't tread on me snake around the symbol of medicine. And then we've got another T-shirt that I think is my favorite of the group. It says, legalize freedom. And it's got an American flag with the stars and bars, but the bars are made up by barbed wire. And it's a great way to start conversations with people. And it says legalize freedom on the back. And your purchase of these T-shirts also funds our operation here. All available at Infowars.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. They're $19.95 a piece. Get two of the T-shirts. You can get them for $14.95 a piece. We've got some other specials where the T-shirts are as low as $5.95 a piece. Again, up on Infowars.com. We even have a T-shirt deal where you get one T-shirt and get another free, or get one video, get a T-shirt free. Just check out all the specials at Infowars.com, or when you call, ask about them. We have a new In the Fed, Save the Republic, Infowars.com shirt that really stands out well. And then there's this one that Phil designed. Phil actually designed all these. Legalize Freedom, and it's got Uncle Sam as a POW-MIA, basically. It takes some from that design and says legalize freedom. When people ask about it, you can explain that America itself is becoming an occupied territory by the Obamanoid globalist and their neocon supporters. On the back, it says legalize freedom. And we've got a whole bunch of other great T-shirts and great T-shirt designs. Every person you wake up, every person you talk to who ask you about these shirts, this is a way to get them to talk to you at tea parties or at church or at work or at the football game or, you know, wherever it is you're out there, or at the pub if you're listening in England, or the bar here in the United States. You can wear this into court, wear it into the county commissioner's meeting, the city council. Infowars.com. And, of course, we have all the films like Invisible Empire and New World Defined, breaking down the globalist takeover and how we can stop them. Films like Rise of the Republic that is available. Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic, all at Infowars.com. Okay, I want to get into the Iran situation. And I've got mainstream news articles also here in my stack out of India, where they're reporting that in major towns and cities where they've been fluoridating the water under IMF World Bank funding, because the IMF World Bank cares so much about your teeth, they come in and will spend millions, even on a small town, lobbying just to get you to drink that, because the big central bankers, they want your pension funds, and they want your land, and they always fund eugenics organizations and openly say there's too many of us, but they care about our teeth. And it just so happens it sterilizes, reduces fertility, and is causing massive bone cancer and deformities, and the Indian government's even admitting this now. So I saw another group of EPA scientists coming out and saying it should be taken out of the water. So those are some other articles that I have. But again, there's no government conspiracy. Sure, it sterilizes. Sure, it causes bone cancer. But they're not doing it because they want to hurt you. No. They're doing it because they want to take good care of you. But getting serious, here is Obama, one of the little jewels from his speech, about how our institutions are what make American democracy great, not our individuals. Here is the clip that is 180 degrees, the opposite of what our republic was founded on.
As one. That is part of the reason why America has the finest fighting force in the history of the world. It is also true that our democracy depends upon institutions that are stronger than individuals. That includes strict adherence to the military chain of command and respect for civilian control over that chain of command.
Ah!
And that's why, as Commander-in-Chief, I believe this decision is necessary to hold ourselves accountable to standards that are
okay
at the core of our democracy.
And so, again, Hitler is the government in 1939 Germany. And you must do what the Fuhrer says, even if it violates the Bill of Rights and Constitution. You must follow orders. Well, we know what happened at Nuremberg. But understand, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic. And I know you, the listeners of this transmission, understand that. I know that you are fully aware of that. But your neighbors aren't. I mean, you could argue to explain to them. They'll say, well, we are a democracy. And go, well, our founders didn't call us a democratic republic. We're a constitutional republic. That means the people found a system to protect their liberty, their freedom, their property, and their right to live their life as they see fit as long as they don't hurt others. And that if 51% votes to make the other 49% work as their slaves, it doesn't happen in a republic. In a democracy, it does. So that's why they always say democracy, democracy. And institutions, our country, he says, you know, as a democracy is able to function because institutions are bigger and more important than people. Well, yeah, in a democracy, in a slave system, that is the case. But this isn't even a democracy. If they could get 51% to vote for slavery, they're not going to share the booty with the 51%. No, in every poll, even the dumbed-down American public, because, you know, they're smart, they're uninformed, they're somewhat informed. It runs the gamut. You know, the ugly American analogy has some validity, but there's the ugly German, the ugly Chinese, the ugly African, the ugly, every country has its bad people. So, yeah, there's the ugly American, there's the ugly Frenchman. But overall, there's a whole diversity to a country. And the public doesn't want open borders over 80% in major polls. The public doesn't want carbon taxes over 80% in major polls. The public, 99% in Gallup polls, didn't want the banker bailout, but it happened. So this isn't really even a democracy. They just tell you, you voted, this is what you want. But then they buy off the politicians and only put people forward for high office who've already got so much dirt on them and are so compromised they can destroy them anytime they want. And to watch that Chicago mob boss with another mob boss, Biden, the total gangster, he's describing people in the diplomatic corps as a gangster, sitting there with that, Don Corleone, oh, I tell you, Bossini's a pimp. It wasn't until today I knew, Tattaglia's a pimp. It wasn't until today I knew it was Bossini, though. When I die, you'll be invited to a meeting, and at that meeting, you'll be assassinated. These are quotes from The Godfather. I mean, that to look at them going, you will follow the order of, put the mob bosses up there, of these guys, but they're only regional capos over North America. They work for the big Rothschild mafia above them. So that is just some of what we're going to be covering right now. Let's go to Joanne in Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. How are you today?
I am doing all right.
Well, I had got on your site, you know, because there's been growing talk of nuking this well. And I read on your site about, the methane eruptions, the giant tsunamis, and, you know, a lot of the different problems that could come from that. But I got to look, and there is a rather large fault line through New Orleans. And it winds off and heads westward through Texas. And then the other portion heads up to the Great Lakes.
Well, that's right. I'm on the Balcones fault line. And there are scores of extinct volcanoes all around Austin where I live. And that fault line goes out towards Louisiana and then out into the Gulf. And that's why the Mississippi, every 100 years or so, there's a big earthquake and it changes its course. It changes, basically where it's traveling from the north to the south, in some cases up to 5 miles. We have posted links to reports by geologists that are concerned about if a nuke is detonated via slant drilling to try to stop this oil that's pouring out, it may fracture the entire structure and may detonate the methane or other natural gas that's down there. It could cause some type of chain reaction. And a lot of people with letters behind their names say this is a potential problem, which may be part of the plan. I mean, they may have chosen this area and are meaning to wind this up to that point. I mean, who knows? The sky's the limit with these globalists. They'll do anything to bring in their world government.
Exactly. I had contacted a geologist, Mike Hansen, at the Ohio Seismic Network. And, nukes were regularly tested underground, but never near fault lines. What a way to drive the American people into Camp FEMA.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But when they do drive us into Camp FEMA, I mean, America already has more people in prison than any other nation. We already have our kids more brainwashed and trained to line up and be searched than any other country. We're already in Camp FEMA. But, yes, they want to accelerate it. And I think people realize now this is the time of intensification of oppression. Joanne, good to hear from you. Scotty in Kentucky, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. Alex, what I was wanting to touch up on here, the lady just kindly touched up on it, is the oil coming up in the Gulf. What about all the gases that can build up under the surface? Because we have, like, the killer lakes in Africa, which ever so often the gases turn up, and they killed, like, 1,700 people in 1986. I just want to touch up on that.
Well, there's a lot of confusion going on because it is a complex world, and there's a lot of different factors. They drill for natural gas. They drill into these deposits all the time, and there are huge deposits in the Gulf, and when they find oil, they generally find natural gas. I would imagine they probably hit natural gas and oil at several other levels on their way down before they were going for the main zone they were after. I mean, that's standard operating procedure from what I've researched. People that work in oil fields can call and correct me if I'm wrong. So they've already fractured the structure. It's already leaking up to 20 miles away. The issue is detonating a nuke down there, they believe will just fracture all of that even more and create more cracks up to the surface and could release even bigger multi-billion gallon reservoirs. And if it hits some big reservoirs of natural gas, a nuke will probably cause a chain reaction in the gas and will probably break the structure up even more and cause more leaking. But don't worry, Obama and BP will have a new carbon tax that will handle that problem for you.
Man, that just kills me to think about that.
Well, they're mad. They're control freaks. I mean, they didn't get their Copenhagen Global Treaty to pay your tax money directly to Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase that run out the IMF and World Bank. I mean, they're openly saying you're going to pay your taxes to them. And so, of course, Goldman Sachs runs BP, and they'll do whatever they have to scare you into going along with the carbon tax. People are like, well, what is a tax on my house or on coal have to do with this? And Obama just says, you're going to find out, schmuck.
And I agree with that. That's for sure.
Oh, these people, I mean, look, the sky's the limit. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said, I agree with that. It's a shame of what's going on. And I want to let you know, you got a lot of friends here in Kentucky.
I know we have a lot of great folks. And look at Rand Paul winning. Look at this black Republican trouncing Strom Thurmond, who had a lot. Strom Thurmond Jr. had a lot more money than him as a Republican in the primary. The Tea Party candidate beat out Strom Thurmond's son. I mean, it just shows no matter what party it is or what election now, all of the establishment candidates or incumbents are out on their butts.
I tell you, I really think Ron Paul is going to win because he's got tremendous support here, but you will not hear it on the mainstream media. That's a total scam of what they're doing.
And we've all seen the video. We've played it here. He's on satellite, and Rachel Maddow, who's got a couple hundred thousand viewers. I mean, the woman is a complete joke. I mean, they got a fancy television production. That's it. It just hoaxes the people that watch it into thinking it's big. It's a joke. I mean, you know, a regional baseball game in Texas on AM radio has more listeners than that does, more viewers. And Maddow got him on, was talking over him, and he's talking, and she goes, what do you think of the Civil Rights Act? And he's like, okay, hold on. Okay, yes. And he goes, no, I support that. He goes, oh, okay, yes, I can't. Oh, no, I support the Civil Rights Act. And they took him going, uh-huh, yes, mm-hmm, because she'd been talking over him. And then he stopped and shut up and said, yes, which is what anybody does. Yes, yes, say it again. Oh, proof. He goes, no, I'm not against the Civil Rights Act. Yes, you are. Yes, you. I mean, it was a hoax. Everything they do is about criminal hoaxes of deception. I appreciate your call. They just, there's no end to these people. Let's talk to John in Washington. John, you're on the air. Welcome.
Alex, real quick, during the hype for the McChrystal thing I heard on NPR, the Mineral Management Service now has a new name. It's going to be the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management and Regulation Enforcement. So it snuck that in on the wire. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. You're saying, of course, what, they're creating a new federal agency?
Yeah, well, they're going to turn the old one that was in charge of the Gulf fiasco into a new regulatory thing. And the other question I had for you is, do you think this McChrystal thing could be positioning Petraeus for a presidential run?
Oh, that we know they're lining Petraeus up as the vice presidential candidate with Mr. Socialist Healthcare. So Republicans in the past would elect Mitt Romney now because they love to vote for socialists who have good hair. But Now, every incumbent, everyone seen as an establishment candidate, is being shot down. And we have the Republican media saying, you better vote for mainline Republicans, you know, not for Tea Party people like Alex Jones. That's in the Washington Post today. You know, that Alex Jones, don't be like him. Yeah, because then you'll stand out. Then the people will know you're real. Then you'll win. You've got the Republican establishment and the Democratic establishment, who are all intermarried and part of the criminal syndicate, trying to keep control of both of their parties and keep them on the big government reservation, and they're going to fail. And, I mean, all of this, all I know is McChrystal doing what he did, he knew it was going to come out. And, yes, they are positioning Petraeus. But, again, Petraeus having a seizure, you better believe that when he starts running for president – nothing against people that have seizures, but the media is going to have a field day with that, saying you can't have a commander-in-chief that collapses. And he clearly had a seizure. So I think that's a big strike against Petraeus. You know, the leader has got to, you know, look like he's healthy and tough and virile. I mean, that's just like with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. They hid the fact he was in a wheelchair. The American people didn't even know he was in a wheelchair. That's how bamboozled they were. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad to be in a wheelchair. What matters is what somebody thinks and believes and stands for. But the issue is, in this petty world where all that matters is the color of your hair and how stylish it is and, you know, do you look like a ladies' man, that this is a big strike against Petraeus.
And can I say one thing, Alex?
Yes, sir.
I am started a Facebook thing, Anti-War Tacoma. I'm going to try to protest our Congressman Norm Dix when they start to move forward with the strike. So if anyone out here is listening in Tacoma, contact me on Facebook and let's raise our voices.
All right, buddy. Good job there. Everybody needs to get organized. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's five of you out there protesting the Iran strike. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, three of you out there against water fluoridation. That's how big things start. We know if we just sit here on our hands, we're not going to have an effect. I mean, I never intended 16 years ago, it was about really 17 when I started getting politically active. I never intended, been on air 15 years, to be where I am now. I could have never imagined it. I would have tried to grow earlier or faster, but you can't go back. Hindsight's 20/20, as they say. Believe me, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step. Take that first step. Take that second step. Take that third, that fourth, that fifth. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey. In the first 5 minutes of the next hour, I'm going to cover some medical tyranny news, and Dr. John Coleman's going to finish up the interview he did with this about a week and a half ago. I want to do part two of him live here. And we'll have some calls then as well. On the Iran front, we're seeing really a replay of all the past propaganda. Looking for my stack here. I could swear I just had that thing in front of me. Well, it doesn't matter. You know the news headlines. The head of Mossad has said they need to strike Iran. The United Nations is announcing that they intend to vote for sanctions to board all Iranian ships. The Iranians say they'll start boarding other ships in the Gulf. It's all acts of war. The media is now saying they've got super missiles that can hit the United States. It's all an exact replay of the lies about WMDs 7 years ago in the lead up to the attack on Iraq after a decade plus of crippling sanctions. And it's all about empire. And the American people are distracted with oil spills and McChrystal and the rest of it. Let's go ahead and go to John in Washington. John, you're on the air. Okay, Matt in Missouri. Go ahead, Matt.
I'll tell you what, Alex. Getting through to you is about as hard as finding a politician with a conscience and a moral standard somewhere. this is unreal. I listened to your show about 13, 14 years ago, and I'll admit, back then I thought you were whacked out. But I'm waking up today, things going on around me, and it is total and complete tyranny. And like you said before, it's a total repeat of history. When we left England and came to America, we left because we were slaves. We were serfs. We were to the nth degree. they were taxing the air we were breathing. And if you stop and think about it, that's what this CO2 thing is, too. They're going to start taxing us for the air we're breathing.
I remember people a decade ago, I remember the movie Spaceballs, a comedy where they're taxing the air. And now that's what this is.
Exactly. Exactly. And Obama was quoted yesterday, I heard on another radio show, where he said there is an opposition raising to abolish Obamacare. He said, I'm not going back. My question is, Mr. Sitaro, what are you afraid of going back to? The Constitution? We the people? Or are you afraid of going back to capitalism? What is it you're afraid
of? What do you think of Obama saying America is about institutions, not individuals?
I think he's just a total dictator. And there was a report earlier today, too, that they're talking about an executive order to get the amnesty. He's already hijacked Arizona.
He signed an executive order federalizing what food you can eat and how much salt can be in food. And now they're going to try to implement where the federal government controls everything.
I tell you, Alex, if we don't find a way, whether at the state or federal level, to indict these people, the Soroses, the CFR, the Federal Reserve, if we don't find a way to expose this in the mainstream and prosecute these people, then unfortunately someday we're going to wake up and realize it's time for another civil war.
Well, Matt, I hear you, and they want to push us into a physical civil war because they think they might be able to win that or finagle that or use that as an excuse to shut down free speech. The reason they're coming in wanting to restrict the internet openly, and you know the best way to expose a dictator is make them act like one. The best way to bring them down is to make them act like one, like Mike Rivera always says, and that's true. By them coming out and saying they want to take the web over, it shows how what we're saying and doing is hurting them. I mean, listen to MSNBC. All they talk about is the Tea Party. All they talk about is me and how I'm a criminal and how I'm calling for violence, which isn't true. They're trying to lie to police so they come after me. They're desperate. We're hurting them. They're not invincible. In fact, they're weak. They're a bunch of pot-bellied scum who are criminal trash, and we're going to defeat them. Friends, I want to get into some medical tyranny news in this first 5 minutes. Then we've got a guest joining us coming up in the next segment on some very important issues. We are into the fourth and final hour on this Wednesday, 23rd day of June 2010. Indian children blinded, crippled by fluoride in water. And growing awareness of mass medication of public with deadly neurotoxin leads to establishment backlash. This is a key article by Paul Joseph Watson up on prisonplanet.com. And in it, he quotes the Times of India, the biggest paper and most prestigious. And he also quotes top FDA scientists. Over 90% of them have sent repeated open letters. We've had them on. We're going to back on saying take it out. And they're also freaked out by the federal government launching counterstrikes with TV and radio ads making fun of people that think it's bad. It is 100% fact that sodium fluoride, in the levels they put it in the water, is a cumulative poison that attacks fertility, causes cancer, bone cancer, you name it. And now even top government neurophysicians, toxicologists, they're all quoted in the Indian government, are saying, yeah, we're giving IMF World Bank loans to put this in the money. We're given this money to put this in the water, and this is causing massive deformities, massive retardation, it quote, disabilities and deformities due to the excess fluoride content in the drinking water. The calcium intake is not absorbed in the body, causing disabilities and deformities. And it just quotes all these scientists, the report in the Express of India, the Times of India. I mean, this is big, big, big news in India. But they're being paid all this money to do this. Here's another one. Debate about addition of sodium fluoride to Mount Pleasant water continues. And it says in the article that the city has voted to cut it from one part per million to 0.4 parts per million, which still reduces IQ in all the studies and causes brain damage. But, you know, at least they're trying to do it there. And boy, when you try to get fluoride out, suddenly lobbyists come out, feds show up, billboards, TV ads. I mean, they really care about your teeth and sterilizing you and making you mentally retarded or reducing your IQ. I mean, you're given a chemical IQ reduction. I mean, the average person can, I guess, only, I guess, enjoy sports or because they're literally, they've been hurt badly. I mean, these are zombies. Political mischaracterization of fluoride opposition dismays scientists, PR Newswire. We're going to get these people back on, these scientists. Oberman slams Tea Party Senate candidate for voting against water fluoridation, makes a joke and says that she says it's poison when on the bag they have a skull and crossbones. Scientists representing the Fluoride Action Network strongly object to recent mischaracterizations of fluoridation opponents by political pundits Rachel Maddow, Keith Oberman, and others in conjunction with Senator Harry Reid's Nevada reelection campaign. Fluoridation opposition is science-based and growing, says Paul Connett, Ph.D., Fluoride Action Network Executive Director, we've had him on, who's testified before Congress, who has co-authored the upcoming book, The Case Against Fluoride, How Hazardous Waste Ended Up in the Drinking Water and Bad Science and Powerful Politics Has Kept It There. Co-authors James Beek, MD, medical doctor, PhD, professor emeritus, the medical physics and University of Alberta, Calgary, I want him on, and Speeding McKellum, Professor Emeritus, Edinburgh University. We have spent years investigating water fluoridation, the toxicity of fluoride, and we are dismayed that the television commentators are willing to repeat without verification pro-fluoridation statements that disparage scientists and citizens who oppose the practice, says Connett. And then it just goes in through, I mean, folks, you don't have to believe me. You just search the term. Water fluoridation doubles bone cancer. Japanese, Chinese, Russian, British, U.S., University of Texas. And it's even worse for boys. I mean, that's just one study. Water fluoridation reduces IQ. It's all conclusive. You're being murdered, okay?
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
All right, 52 minutes left in transmission. He was under the weather last week, so we just had him on for one segment. He's with us for the balance of this hour. He's Dr. John Coleman. He is an author, of course, constitutional lawyer. He is with us today because he's written some very interesting books on the Tavistock Institute on human relations. From my research, you talk about trailblazers in mind control, propaganda, brainwashing, with Edward Bernays and others right up at that level. It's the Tavistock Institute. Also, Drug War Against America, about how the big banks and CIA are shipping in a lot of the narcotics to destabilize the country. Now they just admit that. He wrote this years ago. They come right out on Fox and CNN and say, yeah, we grow the opium, because if we don't, Al-Qaeda will get it and make money. And, of course, he wrote The Committee of 300, getting into kind of the Anglo-American black nobility of Italy as well, that structure of behind-the-scenes imperial corporate government. And a lot of the work I see on Bilderberg that others have written about is mirrored previously by our guest, Dr. John Coleman's research. So he is with us. I know we have loaded phone lines, and I'll try to get to some of your calls towards the end. Or we may not, actually, because I don't know if we have time. In fact, unfortunately, if those callers just call back tomorrow, I'll be able to put them to the head of the line. I apologize to everybody else that's holding, because I'm looking at the clock, and I just don't think we'll have time. We'll be taking your calls again, as I said, tomorrow, so I apologize to those. But this information is also important. But first, just some quick answers from his perspective with Dr. John Coleman. John, specifically, from all I see, there's a quickening happening, an acceleration. The controllers are moving on every front. If you, say, had 5 minutes on national television, you know, reaching millions of people, and you are reaching millions here, to have a quick synopsis of the peril the planet's in, the position the globalists are in, and what we can do to stop what's happening, what would you say?
I think that the best way to look at this is to take it from the point of view of country by country. The United States, we know, is in the hands of socialism, which was always the goal ever since the days of Franklin D. Roosevelt. And they used many contrived situations to get this, to get as far as they have. For instance, the sinking of the Lusitania to get America into World War I, and the other contrived situation, the Gulf of Tonkin, to get us into World War II, and the turning over of China to the communists, ousting Japan from the mainland, all these things. And now the United States, we definitely have a socialist government. I don't think anybody would doubt that. Anybody who's done any study as to what socialism actually means, I think they all agree that we're in the grip of socialism in America. And this, of course, means that it's all working in tandem towards the one world government inside a new world order, which I've written about extensively in all of my books, particularly the Tavistock Institute and the Committee of 300. But not only those books, other books as well.
Well, the globalist, mainly centering in and around Britain, from my research, and I cover this in my film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, whatistheendgame.com is the website, as an online bibliography for the film, like a book, and also an index for the film so people can see the proof that's in the film for themselves. It's an open conspiracy, the title of H.G. Wells' book, Socialist Government Destroying the Family, scientifically having the state basically remove children like you remove the eggs from a hen, to use an Orwell quote. Of course, he was part of British intelligence. All of that going on, and that they would slowly get control of society, and now we've gone through that 100-year period, and now they're going into their end game, giant wars to exterminate us, you name it. And, you know, you read Aldous Huxley, you read Bertrand Russell, you read the Wedgwoods. All these people are public. They all write government textbooks. I've got John P. Holdren's textbook, The White House Science Czar. He says a planetary regime. We're going to put chemicals in the water to sterilize you. I mean, this is really an open conspiracy, but they know the general public is not reading what these elites have said and done. So I think speak to that, and then the Tavistock Institute, your research into it being a key node in the actual command and control system.
But of course, and you know, one of the people I mentioned in my book, Tavistock Institute, is Edward Bernays. He was a nephew of Freud, the gentleman who led the so-called scientific scrambling of the brains. And then you have the country turned over to social engineering and social scientists, all in the one big, if they like, cogs in this giant big machine propelling us against our will, if we but stop to realize it, towards the new world order as fast as they can go. And you take all the wars that have ever been fought, what has been the origin? Economic, all wars are economic in origin, and of course the idea was to destroy the wealth of the nations and put it all in the hands of the Committee of 300. And we see that happening in the United States as well today. There's no question about that, that that's far advanced.
Well, continue. Flesh out the research you did into the Tavistock Institute. Tell people about it, what the organization does. I mean, I've actually visited the Tavistock Institute. I didn't go in it, but I noticed that the London bus bombing on 7/7 blew up right in front of the Tavistock Institute. So I went there days after the bombing and talked to eyewitnesses for my film Terror Storm.
Well, the Tavistock Institute was unknown to the people of the United States, and I turned out to toot my own horn, but I think the existence was first exposed in my 1969 monograph, the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, Britain's Control of the United States. I think up to that time, Tavistock had very successfully retained its secretive role in shaping the affairs of the United States, its government, and its people, since its very early beginning in London in 1913. And they set up shop at a place called Willington House. And that originally was set up in order to coerce the British public into the First World War, and then the American public, that had no wish to be in this war whatsoever. And the project was given by the British government to the Holmesworth brothers, Lord Rothermere and Lord Northcliffe, and their mandate was to produce an organization capable of manipulating public opinion and directing that manufactured opinion down the desired pathway to support for a declaration of war by Great Britain against Germany. Funding was provided by the British royal family and later by the Rothschilds, to whom Lord Northcote was related to marriage. Arnold Toynbee was later selected as Director of Future Studies at the Royal Institute of International Affairs. Two Americans, Walter Lippmann and Edward Bernays, were appointed to handle the manipulation of Britain and the British and the American public opinion in preparation for entry of the United States into World War I. And to brief and direct President Woodrow Wilson, while Toynbee concentrated on changing British public opinion. And, you know, everything boils down to what the public perception of something is. And if you have a population that's 80% opposed to your objective being the government, then the first battle has to be won by changing that public opinion to that which you wanted. And that's why they set up this very scientific organization. And then they had a big upset in 1930 because the two brothers, Northcote and Arnsworth, didn't see eye to eye. And Lord Rothermere broke away from Wellington House and in World War II actually became an ardent supporter of Adolf Hitler, and he vehemently opposed the war with Germany. And after one such visit to Hitler, Lord Rothermere returned to London and denounced those clamoring for war with Hitler as supporters of the Bolsheviks. Which just goes to show how easily, really, public opinion can be swayed and molded and formed. And the Harmsworth brothers then came into a lot of money, and they began publishing a weekly newsletter called Answers to Correspondence, in which questions were sent in and were answered. By 1994, the brothers were able to produce and purchase the Evening News, which began copying American formats. As a result of that, the Daily Mail was first published in London as an 8-page newspaper, which cost a half a penny in those days. The slogan sold the paper. That's how smart these people had become. They knew that slogans would sell the paper. And they knew that they could do this by catering to a new reading public.
Well, isn't there maxim or credo that perception is reality?
That's what they say. That's exactly what they say. But they have to have these enormous mind-bending, mind-control organizations to change the public perception. It's no good having reality of people totally opposed to a war unless you can change that. That's your first battle in any war.
And we were lied to 8 years ago about Iraq. They're repeating the exact same propaganda about secret missiles, secret nukes. Al-Qaeda is in Iran, even though Iran's Shiite, even though the U.S. government has four Al-Qaeda groups publicly attacking Iran. Iran sits there and takes it. And they use the exact same propaganda again on the sheeple. And then they had that propaganda about $1 trillion in lithium last week, when that's old news, as if the American people are going to get $1 trillion. Even if that was there, we're going to pay to go steal it. We're going to pay for it. We're not going to get it.
Exactly. I couldn't have put it better myself. Anyway, these organizations were set up, and they brought up a new language altogether, like regime change and collateral damage. That became almost the new English language, or better yet, the Tavistock English language. And with this, they modified to suit the American conditions, and President Wilson set up the very first Tavistock methodology techniques for polling as to manufacturing so-called public opinion. They also thought Wilson was a secret body of managers. This was the first time this ever happened in America. Of course, this wasn't happening.
All right, let's talk about the scientific dictatorship and these secret managers when we get back, because now they're not even secret. I mean, we get the SPP, North American Union documents, and it's a scientific board with a corporate board telling the government what to do, and the government clicks its heels and says, yes, sir. British Empire model has done around the world. You should pray to God. And it's a system of control. And Dr. John Coleman has written extensively on it. I found his research to be excellent. So you were getting into these committees of experts, these shadow governments that are now out in the open. It's now not denied. You'd write about this stuff 30, 40 years ago. People would laugh. Now it's somewhat public. I want to speak about how those organizations, the command structure that you've identified, and then I want to get into how's their operation going for them, because I see them having success, but they're being revealed more and more, and Brzezinski and others have said that they believe they're starting to get into trouble.
Well, I think they've overstepped their bounds as far as being too confident. I think they felt they'd progressed to such a degree that they could now come more and more out into the open. And I think that was a mistake. You know, going back to the war years, this is when they really came into their own through the strategic bombing survey and through things like the program surveys for the Department of Agriculture, from which major studies were undertaken in the techniques of mass persuasion. You'd never think to look under the agriculture department for something called mass persuasion. I don't think you would unless you were given the key. But I was told to look over there, and that by the late great Senator Irvin, who helped me so much in my constitutional work. And there I find that they had all kinds of things hidden under the agricultural book. For instance, there was a guy called Derwin Clarkott, who wrote a textbook document titled Some Principles of Mass Persuasion. And these principles are still in use today. And another major agency for shaping public opinion was the Office of War Information, which, of course, has fallen away. But this just indication of how these people started out. They started out from a position of great secrecy. And many of their committees and secret organizations were very difficult to discover because they hid them under different booths of tables in the congressional record, which had nothing to do with the subject that you're looking for. I know when I wrote my book on the Constitution, I was told by Senator Irvin to be diligent and to look through all the congressional records I could find, and to date I've read, and I say read like you read a book at a good British university. And I've studied on these things intensely, and I've covered so far 37,000 pages, which I think is something of a record. I doubt whether there's anybody else in the country that's done that. And as a result of that, I've gained some rather unique insights into the Constitution. And one of the big things I find today that is being an open sore in the United States is the fact that so many wars are promulgated without a declaration of war being given by the Congress. That's a joint session of the House and the Senate. And I think many of the evils that have arisen from that are plaguing us today more than ever. It's not per se, it's not a subject that's, gone away. It's all right to talk about it today because it's very much in sync with what is happening.
But this is good news. I mean, everybody I talk to, not just my own research that I respect and my own gut sense of history, but the statements by the controllers themselves that are, an internal memorandum, not secret, but hidden in plain view, they are talking about facing more and more crises, and they understand that they are starting to lose control. I think that is, if people aren't aware of the manipulation, then they're powerless to fight it. But no matter how sophisticated brainwashing and manipulation is, once you're aware of it and start looking for it, then instead of brainwashing you and pacifying you, it irritates you. It actually spurs you like a dog barking next door to go tell your neighbor to, take it inside. I see this really starting to turn. The tide is turning.
I absolutely concur with that. I think very much so. And I think it's more and more is coming to the realization of the American people that their substance, their money has been wasted on wars that they've not certified or given their assent to. I mean, the last time we had a declaration of war, I think, was when Truman declared war. I think that was the last one. And then, of course, the Second World War was also, but that preceded Truman. Anyway, those are the few times that we've had a declaration of war, which is a five-step complicated program that has to be taken. In fact, the founding fathers, they argued and struggled more with that than they did with anything else in the Constitution. I've been reading some of the statements they made, and...
Well, stay there. Long segment coming up. That was a short segment. Let's talk about how big a deal it was and all the checks and balances involved in declaring war versus what is done today. John Coleman is our guest. We're going back to him in just a moment, and I'm going to throw out some more topical issues, looking at this global empire, what its goals are, what the world will look like if they succeed, how he sees the current battle playing out. He's been very accurate in the past in forecasting what he thought would happen in the future. So we'll be talking to him again in a moment. I want to tell you about a few of the sponsors that I really believe in and who made today's radio broadcast possible. One of them is MySolarBackup.com. Our listeners, we've been promoting this for almost 3 years, love this system. You can get a whole bunch of these and run your whole house, or just get one and run your shed where you're doing tinkering or woodwork or whatever, or it's great for camping, or it can, you know, run several big appliances or more. And it's a solar panel, the little control unit, and the battery system. MySolarBackup.com. That's MySolarBackup.com, one word, or 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365 to get a free information package. The government doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so take action today at MySolarBackup.com. Again, that's 877-327-0365. Several other things that actually deal with preparedness is a Cola Blue, the atmospheric water generator, and it grabs the water right out of the air via condensation and puts it through 7 to 12 filters, depending on which unit you buy. They have units that do 7.5 gallons a day, the smallest, up to units that would supply an entire army battalion. They sent quite a few of these to the relief effort in Haiti. Wonderful folks. Acolablue.com. Check them out. ECOLOBLUE.com. Acolablue.com, or give them a call for a free information pack. 800-691-6043. That's 800-691-6043. The cleanest, best water you can get, period. Right out of the air we breathe. Acolablue.com. And finally, you'll never stand in a bread line, my friends, if you have your own bread. And I just saw a mainstream news headline a minute ago on InfoWars that we had linked that said, will Americans starve? They're trying to kick people off their unemployment benefits. They've deindustrialized us. They want to have you jump through hoops and drug tests now to be able to get your unemployment. The government wants your fluids. They want to set that precedent. The point is, things are crazy, and you need to get high-quality, non-GMO, non-hybrid, storable foods that's recently made, as in every month they make the food new. The biggest, longest, continually operating company, the place where I get my storable food. You got to really beware of some of the other companies out there. You can really believe in eFoodsDirect.com. They are the leader, and they have the best prices. eFoodsDirect.com, the letter E, FoodsDirect.com, or 800-409-5633, 800-409-5633. With the talk of war, the ongoing recession, depression, you need to have this insurance you can eat, ladies and gentlemen. All right, going back to our guest, Dr. John Coleman. Doc, give us a website for folks that want to be able to check out your books or your writings or some of the other materials that you have.
Well, our website is very complete. It's quite a substantial website, and you'll find everything you need to know about me and my work up there, all of the books. And it's very simple. It is Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, 300.com, Coleman300.com. And everything you could want to know about me, and all of my books are up there, as well as the number to call to order.
Absolutely. Now, continuing in the last 24 minutes or so we have left, in layman's terms for folks, from your deep study over 40 years, what is the globalist in-game plan? What is their final operation? Because from their own documents I've read, it's establish a world government, isolate the individual, break up the family, and then through covert GMO food, poisons in the water and drugs, basically anesthetize, sterilize, and reduce world population.
That's correct. That's absolutely right. There's all of those and more. For instance, some of the companies like Monsanto are producing seed that you have to, you can't harvest some of it and then plant it again next year. You have to buy new seed all the time, and it doesn't, the shelf life of it is pretty short. Things of that nature. In other words, the supply of food will be lessened to such an extent that, you know, it was their senior statesman, Lord Bertrand Russell, who said that the world is populated with too many useless eaters. That's the likes of us, you and me. And he said something has to be done about it. He said what we need to do is reintroduce a plague that will happen every now and then and wipe away at least 20 million of the population, which he called was surplus to our requirements. And then he said we have a manageable population will not only be subservient, but very easy to control. They will be dependent on the government for everything. So that basically is the blueprint for the new world order, one world government.
Please continue.
Adjust our population, and then they in turn are controlled by, I would call, the top dogs in the Committee of 300. And there are many of them. In America, we have some families of families. And, of course, in England, you have the royalty. Some of the old European kings and queens are still alive and still controlling this body as well. And it's a very comprehensive machine. It's rather like a manufacturing company. At the top, you have the CEO. Then you have the board of directors. Then you have the upper management. Then you have the middle management. Then you have on the controllers on the shop floor, and so on and so forth, right down to the lowest individual working in the packing department to ship the goods. And this is really the format for the new world order that they hope to achieve.
And they all brag about it, they all write about it, and talk about what mindless scum we are. And from my research, but correct me if I'm wrong and expand on it, these are the ultimate control freaks and the ultimate jealous, envious people to the point of they want to control the future. They only want their progeny to go into the future. And they hate healthy, happy people. They hate individual wealth and middle classes. They hate, I mean, their true pleasure is death and sickness and illness and people being dumbed down. And they revel in how they're poisoning us and dumbing us down. And it's really their ultimate mass psychopathic orchestra or symphony of destruction to be carrying this out.
Well, the leader of the school, as I said, of this concerto was Lord Bertrand Russell, and that's exactly his point of view. There are far too many of us. We're too rebellious. We're too independent. We need to be thinned out by plagues that are coming every year. He said, actually, that the wars have been hitherto very disappointing. They haven't killed enough people. I mean, he said that you think of the horrendous casualties of World War One, then you get some idea of the extent of what these people are trying.
And he was given a Nobel Prize. All these guys, I mean, take Watson, the head of IBM Human Genome Project, not the founder of IBM, but the head of the Genome Project. I put him in Endgame 3.5 years ago as a top eugenicist. But a year later, he said basically blacks weren't humans. He had the discoverer of the double helix. He had to step down, but they kept it quiet because he's a, you know, kind of the Holdren's hero. And when you actually study these liberals, they are the biggest racist. But they're not just wanting to kill who they see as subhuman. They also are threatened by what they call wild sons. And they say eugenics isn't just positive and negative. It's also dumbing down the middle class that could threaten them. So they're also, because so many yuppies say, yeah, there's too many people. It's kind of a little secret liberal enjoyment to go, oh, yes, well, we do have too many people. Ha, ha, ha. You know, so a liberal who's all about fighting racism will still giggle and snicker about reducing population. What they don't understand is they're being targeted as well.
Exactly. They're unaware of that. But we all target, all of us. When they've reduced one section, they're going to go after the next and so on. There's nobody who's going to escape their attention.
Well, as long, Doc, as we expose these people and really state how evil they are, I don't see how they're going to get away with this. And I think that's why they're rushing now to openly start shutting the web down. But that's only a bigger wake-up call.
Exactly. This latest idea that they can have some key and shut off the Internet is a very, very dangerous one. But it should be a wake-up call to all Americans, even those who don't bother to read books, who don't bother to follow the news, who gods of sport, baseball and football. It's a wake-up call to all of these people if they'll stop and think for a while. And I think this latest effort to provide a key to shut off the Internet is probably one of the most dangerous propositions that's come around for a very long time.
Well, it shows that their arrogance has evaporated, which I think is a sad thing. I wish they were still full of hubris and chutzpah and arrogant false aplomb, because we could sneak up on them. They now realize that we are very close to their throat.
Yes, and that's making them all the more cautious. And many of their directives are coded today, and it's difficult to understand what they're trying to get, what they're trying to say, except, of course, insiders who have the keys that are not the codes, they know. But the mass of us people are that good at. We're not supposed to know any of these things.
I was talking to a well-known doctor, and off record, she said that she treated a head of state who's a female, a current head of state who's a female, and who said, yes, I don't really know if I want to go through with this, doctor, because they know they can talk to their doctor. You know, I have been raised to be an elitist. We are setting up a world government. The extermination that we've been beta testing, a soft kill, is supposed to accelerate, and I don't know if I want to go through with this. And so I think as they try to really force their new world order through, and we've already pre-warned everyone, that I think we've planted booby traps for them into the future that are going to defeat them.
I think that's exactly right. I believe that's the way to go. We have to continue to plant these hidden mines where they don't see them and can't trip over them and get blown up. That's what we need. But, you know, we don't have people like George Bush Sr. anymore. When he came into power, he proudly announced that he was all for the New World Order. He said, that's what we need, and we need a complete change in society. But today, they're more cautious.
Well, they have been to a certain extent, but we have seen Herman Van Rompuy and Gordon Brown and Ban Ki-moon of the UN say global government is the answer to the financial crisis. We must pay carbon taxes to the very central banks that engineered the collapse.
Oh, indeed. I saw that as well. The British Prime Minister, he was quite outspoken about it. But I think some of the American counterparts are not quite so bold.
No, I agree.
They have tried to still keep the lid on things to a certain extent. But it's the pressure is so great that the lid is going to fly off any one of these days now.
Let's shift gears and talk about your book, Drug War Against America. I mean, CIA aircraft crashing full of pure cocaine from the source. Now they just admit that we're growing the opium in Afghanistan, but we can't not grow it or the Taliban will make the money. I mean, incredible spin. In a nutshell from your research, who controls the narcotics trade and why does government want to keep it illegal?
They want to keep it illegal because they make more money out of it. If it's legal, they might be able to tax it to a certain extent, and that would be all. But this way, they can make enormous profits out of the sale of the product as well. And scarcity is what controls the price. It's a scarce commodity, so, of course, the prices can go right through the ceiling, and people will still buy. America, of course, the biggest narcotics-consuming country in the world. And the Mexican government, for instance, constantly complains that we don't do enough in America to stop the drug trade in America. If it was cut down, there'd be no need for these people to produce such huge quantities of cocaine and heroin and so forth. And, you know, countries like Colombia, we are stationing enormous forces down there. But I don't think they're doing any good because Colombia doesn't grow any of the bush that produces cocaine. That's all grown in other countries like Ecuador and Bolivia. And those countries, they grow it. They grow the bush. But we go into Colombia, and there's nothing growing there. Admittedly, it's a distribution point, but then they have hundreds of other distribution points as well. So it's like trying to put out a fire with a blazing fire with a hose pipe. God, ordinary garden hose pipe. You're not going to accomplish very much.
Well, the skinny I've gotten from Terry Reid, who was CIA, and many others, and what's come out in congressional hearings is the argument is we must deal the drugs, that is the government, or most of the drugs, or someone else will take over this market, and then they will get power out of the market and supplant American hegemony. But that's not what's happening. You decriminalize, then that wipes out the price structure as it was 90 years ago when these drugs were legal here. Far fewer people used it. You could buy cocaine, heroin at the corner store. You could send your kid down there to get it for you. But most people didn't use it. They know that. And they want to keep it illegal so that even if the big central banks don't control all of it being shipped in, they control most of it, the money still gets laundered through them. And so that's why they're going to keep the drug trade wide open and forever. I mean, if they want to put the fire out, they decriminalize.
Exactly right. Of course, it's all a question of who gets the money and how much of it. I mean, you take this enormous drug trade. Although we're fighting in Afghanistan, we have gone in there. I don't quite know what our objective is in Afghanistan. I don't think many people do. But since we've been fighting a war there, the production of the opium from poppy, raw opium, has gone up from 4,000 metric tons a year to 6,000 a year.
Actually, the numbers I've seen is that it doubled within a few years, tripled, quadrupled, and just went up exponentially. That may even be an old number. Now, it's over 90% of world opium production is in Afghanistan.
That wouldn't surprise me in the least, because everything is right for it. The climate, the soil, and the people, it's their way of life. If you take, you wipe out a poppy field, what are you going to give the peasants who are growing it? We tried that before. We tried them to grow vegetables, and they just couldn't make anything out of it. No money. They couldn't live off it. So as soon as the troops had passed through, they went right back to growing poppies again and opium. And, of course, you know, Pakistan is one of the main routes out of Afghanistan. They go through, and all these big generals in the army of Pakistan, they all take their cut out of it. These caravans leave Afghanistan. They go down through the towards the coastline, through the desolate Makra Desert, and they come out on the coastline. There's nothing there but desert, and it's impossible to follow them. They do send planes, and then these people, they hide when they know the planes are coming because they took off, and they hide in two caves that are around, and they go at night mainly, and they get down to the Makra coast, and there's all these Arab girls waiting to take the boatloads of cocaine opium poppies over to the British Bank of the Middle East in Dhahran, just across the, not Dhahran, but just across the British Bank of the Middle East.
All right, Dr. John Coleman, stay there. We're going to come back in the final segment, talk about Iran. The Iranians say they're going to break the Israeli blockade of Gaza. Israel vows to fight back. Stay with us. All right, final segment. We'll be back tomorrow live, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. Dr. John Coleman is our guest. I want to ask him about Iran in just a moment. We'll close out the broadcast. But we do have Lord Christopher Monckton on the latest on the global carbon tax joining us for an hour tomorrow. Also, Judge Andrew Napolitano, highest ratings ever with the first week of his new show on the Fox Business Network. He'll be joining us. We got former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura joining us Friday. And by the way, he's not on a speaking or radio tour right now. You notice you only see him about two or three times a year. He's doing this separate because I'm consulting on his TV show. We'll talk about a host of issues with Jesse Ventura coming up on Friday for a full hour and some other surprise guests as well in the next 2 days. Separately, I was watching Fox during the break, and they were admitting that Prozac and Zoloft and all this stuff is causing heart attacks and brain damage. And I'd read that, and I pulled up the medical literature. I know it causes suicide, and there it was. Man, I tell you, this stuff is really starting to come out. We've got an article up on Infowars.com. Israeli vows to tighten Gaza blockade. U.S. media reports blockade eased. So who knows what's happening? Iran to send blockade-busting ship to Gaza. Look, I don't want a war on Iran. We know they don't have nukes. We know they don't have Al-Qaeda in their country. We know that's all made up. But at the same time, Iran, Dr. John Coleman, what do you think they're doing? I mean, I don't want World War III to start, but isn't this provocative of Iran to be doing this, just asking for Israel to nuke them?
Yes, I think this is the closest we've been for a long time to the Third World War starting. And if anybody makes a misstep in this situation, that's what's going to happen. I think we're very close to a Third World War unless cooler heads prevail. And I don't see anybody big enough and strong enough to be that cool head. So we live in very perilous times.
Why do the global controllers want to attack Iran?
Why do they want to?
Yes.
Because Iran wants to get nuclear weapons of its own. It says that if Israel can have nuclear weapons and if India and Pakistan can have them, why not them?
But what they've been enriching, and they even tried to send their uranium out of the country to prove they weren't that this was non-nuclear. But I mean, you do think they do want to get nukes?
Well, definitely. I don't think there's any doubt about it whatsoever. I doubt it very much. You know, my book has told very widely. The Committee of Senate in Iran is a strange situation, but there it is. And the people who I'm in contact with tell me that they feel that the war is very, very imminent. And they think that the story that is prevailing to prevent the nuclear armament of their rockets is going to be the focal point, which will be the flashpoint that will start it.
Well, we have our sources inside Bilderberg, which, of course, is a subset of what you call the Committee of 300. And they, for the first time, according to Jim Tucker and others, are green-lighting an attack on Iran. Now, that doesn't mean it's 100%, but do you agree that having Bilderberg sign off on it's a bad sign?
I think that anything they agree to is bad. I doubt very much about anything. This society was founded by Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands in the town of Bilderberg in Holland, and everything that's come out of there has been nothing but the worst type of provocations the world has ever seen. So anything they approve, I think, is bad news for us.
All right, Dr. John Coleman, we look forward to speaking to you again in the future. It's Coleman300.com. Thanks for spending time with us.
I just want to make one correction quickly, if I may. I said Tehran in regard to the finish line to the Middle East. It's Dubai where the center is, the money center.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, retransmission is going to start here in about 45 seconds on the Infowars.com free audio streams. Don't forget the free iPhone app. Up there, which is absolutely free. Listen to the podcast, the live stream, the refeed. Please spread the word, even if you don't have an iPhone or iPad. People do. Send them the free link and say, hey, listen to the Alex Jones Show. Spread the word about our local AM/FM affiliates, XM, shortwave, everything. Great job of the crew. Big shows on Thursday and Friday. God bless you all. We'll see you back live in 20 hours right here.